I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Denver Water. It was a snowy afternoon and evening in Colorado yesterday. National Weather Service forecaster Kyle Ferdin tells us how much we got.
3 to 6 inches with the highest amounts near the southern suburbs and western foothill areas. The highest amounts were got about 8 inches by Sedalia, 8 inches in Boulder area.
Ferdin says more snow's on the way.
We're looking at a possible chance for some snow late Wednesday into Thursday, and maybe another chance for snow coming on into Thursday and then again on Monday.
Ferdin says that tonight temperatures could drop to the single digits, but will hit the mid-40s tomorrow. Commuters may be growling over the road conditions from last night's snowstorm, but those who monitor ski conditions are in a happier mood. Among them, Ainsley Caston with Loveland Ski Area.
The storm that just rolled through dumped about 13 to 14 inches. We're still getting flurries as we speak, so we've had over a foot, and the powder is awesome. It's light and fluffy, and we're expecting more snow throughout the week.
Meanwhile, at Copper Mountain, they're reporting 5 inches overnight and a base of 28 inches. You may see some smoke west of Denver today. Several fire crews have scheduled control burns near Evergreen, Conifer, and in Coal Creek Canyon. The crews see the newly fallen snow as beneficial to their efforts in controlling the prescribed burns. Kobe Bryant's lawyers want to know the names of employees working for the Eagle County, Colorado Sheriff's Department who ordered T-shirts depicting a hangman figure, along with derogatory remarks about the L.A. Laker. The Orange County, California Register quotes Bryant's attorney, Pamela Mackey, as saying the offensive shirts sold for $10 apiece and show, quote, the bias of the investigating agencies looking into her client's sexual assault charges. Mackey is asking a Colorado District Court judge to order the local sheriff's department and the DA's office to provide details on who exactly ordered the T-shirts by way of office email. Prosecutors have refused to disclose any information on the matter. In the Democratic race for the White House, it appears Howard Dean's gain is Joe Lieberman's loss. Former Vice President Al Gore today announced support for Dean in his bid to become the party's nominee for President of the United States.
I want to do everything I can to convince you to get behind Howard Dean, and let's make this a successful campaign as a group.
At a fundraising breakfast in Harlem for the Vermont Democrats presidential bid, Gore said Dean was the only candidate among the field of 9 Democrats to inspire the grassroots level all over this country the kind of passion and enthusiasm for democracy and change and transformation needed in America. The former vice president also praised Dean for his stance opposing the war in Iraq, saying the former Vermont governor is the only candidate to make what he called the right decision. At least 41 American soldiers have been wounded after a car bomb exploded outside the city of Mosul in northern Iraq. 4 soldiers were seriously injured, while most of the rest received cuts, bruises, and fractures. 3 Iraqis were also wounded. Meanwhile, there are conflicting reports over the downing of a U.S. helicopter near the town of Fallujah. The Dow hit the 10,000 mark for the first time in more than a year today. Charles Payne, the CEO and principal analyst of Wall Street Strategies, says it was unexpected.
It's interesting. I mean, we weren't far from it in terms of points, but on Friday, after the jobs number came in and the market sort of sank, certainly spirits seemed like they sank. The thought was perhaps it may not happen this year.
The job report Payne referred to showed employers had hired far fewer employees than investors had expected last month. He said the coming announcement from the Fed concerning interest rates could serve as a catalyst for bigger gains. As of the most recent check, the Dow was up 2.5 points, the Nasdaq down 17.4, and the S&P 500 down 2.69. More mental health experts are being called to the stand in the trial of D.C. area sniper suspect Lee Boyd Malvo. His attorneys are trying to depict their client as having been brainwashed by convicted sniper John Allen Muhammad. In sports, the Denver Nuggets head into Atlanta tonight to take on the Hawks. Nuggets, who are tied for first in the Midwest Division, haven't won in Atlanta in 15 years. The Nuggets, though, are off to their best start in years. They're at 13-7 this season. Hawks are struggling at 6-15. Colorado Avalanche had no problems with Washington last night, beating the Capitals 4-1. It was the first time the Capitals had lost a road game to the Avs since March 1999. Avs will play the Canucks in Vancouver on Thursday. Keeping your shower to under 5 minutes can save up to 1,000 gallons of water a month. Visit DenverWater.org for more water-saving tips. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
If you haven't heard the big news about dieting, listen closely. The experts are now saying that low-carb diet plans do work. But if the thought of eating nothing but meat sounds scary to you, continue to listen closely, because the next 30 seconds could change your life. Introducing UltraCarb. UltraCarb is the original carb-blocking, fat-burning supplement guaranteed to help you lose up to 20 pounds in the next month without exhausting workouts or life-changing diets. With UltraCarb, you can continue to eat the foods you love, pasta, pizza, and bread, and still lose weight. After blocking the carb, UltraCarb works with your body's natural fat-burning mechanism to rid your body of unwanted pounds. Imagine looking in the mirror a month from now and seeing the thinner, happier you. And because UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work, you have nothing to lose except unwanted pounds. Call now to find out how you can receive a one-month supply free with your order.
Call now, 1-800-451-6432. That's 1-800-451-6432. Lose unwanted pounds 100% safe and guaranteed. 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Office Depot, and we do have some major problems around the metro area. We have southbound I-25 right past Larkspur. You're going to see multiple accidents in that location. Also, we do have a problem northbound I-25 at the Boulder Turnpike, westbound C-470 at Lucent, an accident in the cleanup stages. From now until December 13th, come to Office Depot and get a $50 gift card when you purchase any digital camera. In-store only. See store for details. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy skies for the rest of today. The high 34. For tonight, mostly clear down to 14. And Wednesday will be a little warmer with partly cloudy skies again, up to 41. Partly cloudy and breezy. West winds 15 to 25 miles an hour for Thursday. The high 43. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 31 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about meditation on generosity, why it's necessary to give. Thursday, we tentatively are going to be joined by Paul Krugman. We're trying to confirm that right now. He's a New York Times columnist, economist, teaches at Princeton, and has been shortlisted for the Nobel Prize, and Friday, live from the Denver Press Club, the holiday edition of Enid Live, and that's this coming Friday next week. Sheila Lukens, his one of your favorites. She writes all these great recipes, and you can see her in, I think, Parade Magazine or something like that. She is a terrific person. She's going to be in town. I'd probably be at Tattered Cover, and she's got a brand new book out called Celebrate. So that is next week, and we are going to have a segment backed by popular request, Tell It to Tim. Maybe next week, we'll see. We're in the middle of confirming that right now. So it's your opportunity to tell Tim Brown, our CEO, exactly what you think of the station, what you think of the programming, whatever your feedback is, positive, negative, you name it. We're going to tell it to Tim back by popular request. So that's going to be coming up, and I'll give you more details as that emerges. So when we firm up the date, we will give it to you, and could be as early as this week, but you're thinking about next week, but there might be a possibility of this week, too. So we'll let you know more. One of the things that we have talked about, and I want to get onto this right away, I saw it in Bill Husted's column today. Channel 9 reporter Andrew Resnick got busted for a couple of three ecstasy pills at some event. I forget what it was. Was it a concert? What was the concert? Oh, the Phil Lesh concert? All right. So anyway, he's been, in Siberia ever since then. And in Husted's column, in a memo, Husted reports that in a memo to KUSA Channel 9 staffers, General Manager Roger Ogden says that the station has decided to allow Andrew Resnick to return to the station January 12th as a general assignment reporter, though he will not anchor the weekend morning news. I'm glad they're bringing him back. You've got that old windbag at the Walmart across the way who's been a junkie for years and years and years on OxyContin, and he's right back in the saddle where he always was. Here's a guy who got busted for three ecstasy pills, and I don't think that his career should go up in tatters. So this is Andrew Resnick. He's going to be coming back not as the anchor that he was, but as a general assignment reporter, and I guess he's going to have to work his way back up. Are you happy that he's coming back? Do you think it would have been too harsh to can him? If they canned him, I mean, his career would have effectively taken a huge hit. I would think, if not, you know, be over entirely. How do you feel about Andrew Resnick? He got busted for 3 ecstasy pills at some rock concert. They're not going to let him be an anchor again, at least for the moment. And I don't know what his contract says, whether he's only hired as an anchor. But they've worked out some agreement where he is a general assignment reporter. Now, a lot of these broadcast contracts have morals clauses in them. If you do a bad no-no in the community, that's it. You're toast. But I'm not very familiar with Andrew Resnick's work, but it seems to me for 3 pills to get high for a concert, I don't, you know, it's between him and his shrink. He shouldn't have to lose his job over it. And look at Rush Limbaugh. Would you like to comment about this? 303-382-1150. And I can see where they might not want him to be an anchor right now. But a general assignment reporter, he gets more buried in the newscast than to be out front as an anchor. So I can understand why that would be a compromise, and I'm glad they didn't fire him. Now, you who are more familiar with his work than I am, I don't know that I've ever actually seen him. So I can't tell you what I think of his reporting skills or his anchoring skills. I just think that a guy who got busted for 3 ecstasies in a rock concert, it was dumb and he should have thought twice about it, but he shouldn't have to lose his job and lose his career over it. What do you think? 303-382-1150, especially when you got that gas bag who's under criminal investigation at the Walmart across the way trying to duke it out with me, moi, your radio goddess, noon to 3 right here on KNRC Monday through Friday. Brad, hi. You're live with Enid.
Radio goddess, you are.
Well, self-inflicted. It's a largely self-inflicted title.
Yeah, well,
if the truth be known,
mine.
Brad, huh?
Even had you not even said that, you still are mine.
Oh, Brad, thank you. you probably want to inveigle something horrible out of me. What is it? What is it?
Yeah, the truth. Something I don't hear too often from you.
Are you kidding? This place is Truth Central. This is the only place you're ever going to get the truth. If you think you're going to get it from that gas bag at the Walmart across the way, think twice.
Okay, well. I'll
ask him, for example, how many pills, if he's still clean. See if he tells you the truth.
Well, yeah, I was going to agree with you. Now I tend to want not to, but I do agree with you. I think, you know.
Do you think they're letting those calls through on the Walmart across the way to, the show's already, a million years old by the time it airs at the Walmart across the way. But do you think that if anybody calls in to say, I want to know, are you clean, Rush? Are you taking any OxyContin? You think that call ever makes air?
I think you're right. I think they'd probably screen anything they don't like because it's amazing how many people call in and nobody seems to disagree with him ever.
Oh, yeah.
That's what bores me about his show. I mean, I agree 100%. I have called in and I have just lambasted you left and right and you have never dodged my call. So you certainly have higher moral ground when it comes to letting your listeners hear both sides.
Well, thank you.
But
all right, now what did you call in to lambast me about today?
Actually, nothing, because I agree with you. I think the guy, he should,
Are you talking about Resnick?
Yeah, it's ecstasy, so it's illegal, right?
I'm assuming that it has become, at one point it was not MTBE, what is it, MT? MDMA.
Yeah,
see, I can't get my initials straight here. MDMA. At what time it was legal, I am assuming it is not legal right now, or if it is legal, he didn't have a legal prescription for it. I am told that some shrinks prescribe it for patients. I don't know if that's true. I'm hearing it secondhand.
Oh, okay.
So,
well,
but whatever.
If it's a prescribed drug, I kind of feel differently. Then I think the guy should get even more slack. Because, There's a point at which you say there's drugs and there's drugs. I really don't have that much of a problem with the Rush thing. Not because it's Rush. I know you're going to jump on that, but it's not because it's Rush. You know I'm not his biggest fan.
Right.
But it's just because, look, the guy got hooked on this prescription drug that was available to him at one time. Obviously, he did the wrong thing. Likewise, this guy took a few ecstasy to get high. To ruin a person's life and career over a bad choice like that, my God, I wouldn't have had a career, would you?
Well.
I've made so many bad choices in my life, thank God. You know, everybody.
But see, now he's in a position, here's where this is a guy who was an anchor.
Right.
So he is sort of the public face of the television station. I believe he's a weekend anchor. And
right.
And what you don't want to have when you're particularly when you're fighting for ratings, although Channel 9 is the ratings leader in the market, but they're Channel 4 is pretty catching up pretty closely with them. In fact, it's practically a dead heat in some day parts. So when you have got the public face of your television station, what you don't want is somebody who's you can even question. I can understand why they'd want to pull him for now. He's going to have to probably prove himself and get back in their good graces. I'm glad they didn't fire him. Three pills.
Yeah, I agree.
Three pills.
It sounds like the punishment, or the crime, whatever it is, justified by the punishment.
Yeah, and you know what? It could work to their benefit because whenever there's so much publicity about somebody over anything, it doesn't matter almost whether it's not positive or negative. It's please spell my name right. Because people just remember that they've heard about you. And I think a lot of people might actually tune in to Channel 9 who might not have been all that familiar with Andrew Resnick to see, oh, what's the fuss about? Who is he? Oh, I've been reading about him. Does he look like he's on drugs right now? You know, for all the reasons that people tune in for anything.
Well, I think it also shows a bit of compassion. And I think we need more of that in this world.
Well, I think it's a...
You do say, hey, look, buddy, you did something wrong here, so you're going to have to be a field reporter for a while, is kind of shameful. The guy's got to, you know, face his shame, but yet they're compassionate enough to say, but we're not going to throw you out on the street and treat you like you're some heroin dealer. So it does show compassion, I think.
Well, and it shows a good compromise, although who knows contractually what his contract read and whether they
who
had to.
Who cares what the contract said? If I was this manager, regardless of what the contract said, you want to do the right thing. You know, contracts sometimes are written so that they're really, really tough on whoever's signing them, but you don't always hold everybody to every little thing in a contract.
Every little jot and tittle?
You bet.
All right.
So I think I really applaud their decision. I think it was that the punishment fits the crime, and I just want to say that if more conservatives were to be less harsh with people over issues that are how people hurt themselves, things like, you know, victimless crimes like prostitution and such, if more conservatives would relax and really see the issues.
Oh, I've got some. Oh, good luck on that, because I've got some stories here that are good. It's going to raise the hair on the back of your head and your neck when I finish today, because there are all kinds of things that are going on.
Okay,
but I will say, Brad, here's what Husted says. He says he goes on to say in his column today in the Post that Resnick has a court date December 18. He'll most likely be eligible for Denver's drug court program, which involves intensive probation supervision and treatment. Some staffers at the station are grumbling, but I think it's good of the general manager, writes Husted, not to make him walk the plank. And I agree with Bill Husted on this one. And I agree with you, too.
Yeah, I've known people that also got caught drink driving, and one of the best things that ever happened to them, because they were forced into classes where they really found out they had a problem, and they solved their problem. So hopefully that's what happens with this guy.
I hope so. I thank you for the call, Brad. 303-382-1150. Ann, calling from Wheat Ridge. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Ann.
I think both Rush and Andrew need to lose their jobs. I mean, we teach kids that drugs are drugs and they're bad and they're going to have to face a consequence. And now we're, telling people that these guys can do it and not have to suffer any consequences of great value. I mean, Andrew is still employed. I have compassion for Andrew. I try to have compassion for Russ, but haven't found that yet. But I just think
you could look under C in a dictionary.
I just think that we're telling kids or giving kids a mixed message.
We're giving them a tremendously mixed. Look at Kobe Bryant. At the very least, we're telling kids, you know, he's a big basketball star, gets zillions of dollars in endorsements, and he cheats on his wife. We know for sure he cheats on his wife.
Right.
Whether or not he committed rape is for the court to decide, yet to decide. But to kids, we're saying, as long as you are a genius at something and you can get zillions in endorsements, if you cheat on your wife, well, hey, so what?
If you take drugs, hey, so what? You know, I mean, there's no real consequence for the.
Well, if you're black, if you're poor, and if you don't have good legal representation, then you wind up in the pokey for a lot of years.
That's right, but I just think that it needs to be uniform. And if we allow public figures to get away with it, then the kids are, you know, it's one more mixed message. We have to try to get our our ducks in a row so that the kids can believe us.
Well, see, I think of drug usage as more of a public. I don't think it should be criminalized. I think if you're a big dealer, yes, that's different. But
well,
if you're
besides not liking him, I mean, he really broke the law and was, you know, doing a whole bunch of bad things.
He needs to go for a lot of other reasons, but because he's so rich, because he's so powerfully connected, because he's such a cash cow for Clear Channel, I'm not so sure it's going to happen unless the criminal part of this number of investigations that he seems to be a target of, unless those really go into high gear. Although I'm going to give you some perky news. I was talking to somebody today who is a Rush listener, not a hardcore, but listens, you know, along the fringes occasionally. And I said, what do you think about Rush being on the air, the drug usage and so on? And he says, no integrity. So I thought, you know, there are a lot of people who may be beginning to come to that conclusion, maybe not his core audience, but a lot of other people who are not as fanatical, as fanatically devoted to him.
The only thing I can think of that would be good about these guys retaining their jobs is if they actually walk the audience through their rehab, truthfully and, you know, in depth, that might have some value. Excuse me. But
so you mean if Resnick did a mea culpa? There have been reporters who've taken you on their liposuction tours, who've taken you on their facelifts. I've seen pieces like that in various markets.
Right.
So if Resnick does an Oprah and he confesses and the cameras follow him to court and his drug rehab and
right. If the audience is able to see, I think the full picture of what rehab is and how painful.
But you know, the truth is they can do it for public consumption, but it won't work unless he does it privately and unless he's in an environment where he really can confess everything, and he would not be able to do that on camera.
Well, no, I mean, I don't think they should invade the groups or anything. I don't think they'd be able to. But
I think
his personal growth, he can expose, and of course it would be censored by himself, you know. I wouldn't expect him to bear the deep, dark secrets of his soul, but I don't know. That would be the only thing that I would agree that they should stay on. But I just think, you know, one more mixed message for the kids.
I thank you for the call, and you and I disagree on this one. I think I'm glad that that he's not losing his job. I think that drug use ought to be a health matter, not a public health matter, not a criminal matter, unless you're a huge dealer and bringing this stuff in. And we'll see what happens with Andrew Resnick. Those of you who are fans of his, or those of you who, you know, Ann makes a good case. She said, look, if we're sending out mixed messages that if you do this, you know, if you're important enough, and I guess that's the bottom line in this country. This is a country of by and for special interests. That's what's happened. This is a country where the divide between the haves and the have-nots is getting greater every day. This is a country that will give you the best justice money can buy. If you've got a good attorney, if you have lots of money, you will be treated better in the system in general. Not completely. Look at Representative Janklow. Guilty, guilty, and guilty, and he is going to have to resign, and I have information about him. As we continue, I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Awarded Colorado's best newscast and best general reporting by the Associated Press. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, my name is Allison, and I met my fiancé Daniel at eHarmony.com.
My name is Rob, and I met my wife on eHarmony.com.
My name is Brenda, and I met my fiancé Tom on eHarmony.com.
There's a reason why couples who meet on eHarmony.com are falling in love and getting married. Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Successful relationships always begin with broad-based compatibility. That's why at eHarmony.com we match you based on 29 dimensions of compatibility.
It helps you to figure out you, then it helps you to find that person that you are most compatible with.
You're learning intimate things about the person right from the very beginning.
There's a depth to eHarmony that the other sites don't have.
Log on to eHarmony.com and see for yourself why more eHarmony.com matches result in marriage than any online dating service. Do it right now and get your $40 personality profile free.
You know, the thing about winning awards is that you have to say award-winning this and award-winning that. And frankly, it's very tiring for a voice talent like myself.
Here's your Mai Tai, sir.
Thanks. But just in case you didn't know, you can download clips of award-winning news features and guest interviews from our award-winning website, made by an award-winning designer featuring award-winning hosts. Well, it's true. KNRCRadio.com has it all. But if somebody at the station wins a Nobel Prize, I'm out of here.
Hi, this is Greg Dobb. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
1225 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and I get this email from Dan says, I'm a complete hypocrite because it's okay to rip Rush because of his addiction, but when it's someone else, it's between him and his therapist. They were both in the wrong. Your positions change with the person of the drug of choice. That's inconsistent. Well, the difference, I think, between Resnick and Resnick was a reporter. He was an anchor. And in both cases, you know, Rush is a lot of fun to make fun of, actually. Resnick is a sadder case to me. In both cases, I think that drug use should be a public health issue and should not be a criminal matter, except, you know, there's all this other stuff that where Rush is involved. There's money laundering. There are two or three cases, criminal investigation, Rush's involvement. But the difference between Rush and Resnick is that Resnick was an anchor. You know, he'd sit there, he'd read, he's a reader, as they call him in England. You know, he'd announce the next story. He wasn't telling you how righteous he was. He wasn't telling you how he's on talent on loan from Pfizer. He wasn't telling you any of that stuff. He wasn't telling you what a terrific guy he was and how much integrity he had and all that stuff. He didn't do that. You know, he announced the next story. That's all he did, as far as I know. Well, Rush set himself up as a moral paragon. So there is somewhat of a difference. 303-382-1150. If you're just tuning in, Randy Resnick is going to, he's been suspended. He was suspended without pay all this time, and he's coming back as a general assignment reporter at Channel 9. He won't be anchoring the weekend morning news as he had been doing, at least not for now. There's some grumbling at Channel 9, but Bill Husted and I agree on this one. It was good that Andrew Resnick did not have to walk the plank, so I'm glad they did that. Sounds better to me. Those of you who are fans or foes, I'd like to hear from you. I wonder what you think about it, vis-a-vis Rush, for example, 303-382-1150. A confidential investigation by Los Angeles police and child welfare officials concluded earlier this year that allegations that Michael Jackson sexually abused a cancer-stricken boy were, quote, unfounded. This is according to an internal government memo that was obtained by the Smoking Gun. The probe's findings were based in large part on interviews with the alleged victim, his two siblings, and the boy's mother. According to the memo, when the child was questioned in February by a social worker assigned to the sensitive case unit of the LA's Department of Children and Family Services, he denied any form of sexual abuse by Michael Jackson and said he never slept in the same bed as the entertainer. While not specifically named in the memo, the 45-year-old Jackson is referred to repeatedly as, quote, the entertainer. The memo notes that the boy, now 14, and his 12-year-old brother, who also denied sexual abuse, expressed a fondness for the entertainer and stated that they enjoyed visiting his home, where they would often ride in the park, play video games, and watch movies. The pair's sister, who's now 17, told a social worker that she accompanied the boys on sleepovers at the entertainer's home, but had never seen anything sexually inappropriate between her brothers and the entertainer. The children's mother told investigators that Jackson was, quote, like a father to the children and a part of her family, end quote. While acknowledging that her son has slept in the same room as the entertainer, the woman claimed they did not share a bed. The entertainer would sleep on the floor, according to the memo. Well, we'll see about that. Okay. Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you will remember, here's what Arnold Schwarzenegger did, the Gruppenführer. When he was running for governor and he refused to meet with the pencil press, you know, nobody knew exactly what his positions were on anything or what his programs were going to be. He said, I'll be doing a press conference. Well, he got elected and now everybody said, well, aren't you going to explain what your programs are? He said, oh, that's old news. And the same thing with the groping charges. He said he was going to appoint a private investigator to scope out those charges, to suss them out. Well, guess what? He decided he's not going to have a groping inquiry because no one would believe the results anyway. So this is the governor, this is the LA Times and the San Francisco Chronicle both reporting that Arnold Schwarzenegger is dropping plans to hire a private investigator to examine allegations that he groped at least 16 women over the last three decades. The governor is busy with the state's budget crisis and doubts that such an inquiry would appease critics anyway, said his communications director. Because of that, he has decided not to look into the charges himself, as he promised to do in the final days of the recall campaign. Okay, now let me tell you, there is so much more to this story. On the eve of the... Let me see if I have let's see if we've got... I think it's this story. Okay, now this is the LA Weekly reporting this story. This is an amazing story. A Los Angeles woman who came forward during the California gubernatorial campaign to accuse Arnold Schwarzenegger of previous instances of sexual harassment is now suing Arnold, claiming that he, an aide, and his campaign smeared her as a convicted felon when she made her charges. Her name is Rhonda Miller. She's a former stunt woman. She charges that the Schwarzenegger camp told reporters that she had an extensive rap sheet, a dirty trick meant to discount her credibility when it came to the harassment charges. Rhonda Miller claims that the Schwarzenegger smear began an hour after she made her charges public, with campaign spokesman Sean Walsh sending journalists an email directing them to the Superior Court's website where they could access Miller's lengthy criminal history. The felon in question, however, was a different Rhonda Miller. And here is Sean Walsh, who used to be a spokesperson and has done a lot of work for the California's previous Republican governor, Pete Wilson. So here he is. He is working as a spokesperson for Schwarzenegger now, at least during the recall. And here is what he has done. She appeared, the woman in question, she's a stunt woman, Rhonda Miller, with Gloria Allred, who's an attorney and a feminist, at a press conference, and alleged that Schwarzenegger groped her on two occasions while she was a stunt double in the films The Terminator and True Lies. Right after the Miller-Allred news conference ended, an email addressed to reporters and editors was sent from Sean Walsh, the Schwarzenegger campaign, and the email stated the following, and it was very carefully written. Now, I want you to hear how carefully written it was, because it turns out that the Rhonda Miller that they directed reporters to was a different Rhonda Miller who had, and you know, it's a fairly common name, who had an extensive criminal history. It is not this Rhonda Miller who is the stunt woman. So here's the memo that Sean Walsh has written. Ray, Rhonda Miller, and Gloria Allred partisan attack, and this was sent to journalists. It has come to our attention from the media that you can access court documents from the following website, and they give it to you. You will have to pay a $4.75 online charge to access and search the site. Once you have accessed the site, type Rhonda in the first name field and Miller in the last name field. We have to believe that as a lawyer, Gloria would have thoroughly checked the facts and background of the individual she presented at a news conference today. When one reviews Ms. Allred's background and her campaign contributions, we will let you in the media decide whether her role in today's event was yet another attempt to glom onto television cameras or it was her attempt to support the partisan attacks against Arnold Schwarzenegger. So what Sean Walsh cleverly did was to send reporters to a Superior Court website where he directed them to type in Rhonda in the first name field and Miller in the last name field. And they got this long rap sheet for one Rhonda Miller, but the trouble was it was not the same Rhonda Miller. And Walsh must have known that because he wrote this so carefully that he's almost bulletproofed himself. This Rhonda Miller, who has been working as a stunt woman in Hollywood for many years, at least since 1990, has had regular work throughout. The minute that it came out that she had a rap sheet, which she does not, it's a different Rhonda Miller, she has not had one bit of work since. So she has filed a lawsuit. The campaign knew it. And various apologies, KFI and the John and Ken show, they dissed her big time. They have issued a formal apology, which you have to do in California. In order to bulletproof yourself against a lawsuit, libel, slander, you have to issue a formal apology. And that was done. Robin Bertolucci, who was KFI's PD, and she used to be here at the Walmart across the way, and I worked with her at KGO, issued the following statement on to LA Weekly on Monday, October 6th, in John and Ken show, using information available at the time, discussed allegations that Rhonda Miller had a criminal record on the evening of Wednesday, October 6th, having fully researched the situation. KFI AM's talk show host, John Cobalt, made an on-air correction clarifying that Rhonda Miller, in fact, did not have a criminal record and apologized for the misinformation that aired. So that is the story here. She is suing Arnold Schwarzenegger. The campaign director, Sean Walsh, knew, it seemed, at least I feel, in my judgment, the way he wrote this thing so carefully, alerting journalists to a Rhonda Miller with a rap sheet, the way he wrote it without actually stating that it was the same Rhonda Miller indicates to me that he must have had some knowledge in advance. And he tried to smear this woman. And this woman's life is not going to be the same. How's she going to? She says she hasn't had work since any of this came out. One of the things that Arnold said he would do the minute he took office was that he would hire a PI to do a report on all these gropers that came forward. Well, he knew who he groped and who he didn't. And some of the stories are kind of disgusting that are coming out. They're really disgusting. Some of them I don't think I can actually share with you on a family radio station. They're that bad. So I guess as long as he gropes and he does. And this came out, the allegations about him came out right before, practically on the eve of the election. And so they smeared this woman, this Rhonda Miller, effectively neutralizing her so he could go forward and get elected. I don't know. I think people pretty much knew what they were getting with him. But actually, some of the allegations as I'm looking at them, I cut him more slack than maybe I should have. He's really kind of disgusting. And a lot of people still won't talk. They're afraid of him. They're afraid of his power in Hollywood. And now that he's the governor of the fourth or so largest economy in the universe, they're probably even more afraid to come forward because it's a dirty tricks campaign. So, what do you think about the fact that he said, look, I'll do a press conference, and then when he was elected and they said, aren't you going to do a press conference? He said, oh, that's old news. I'll talk to you about these allegations now that he's I will hire an investigator so that we can set the record straight. And now he says, well, you know what? No one's going to believe any investigator I hire, so forget about it. We're not going to have an investigator. And the remarkable thing, he's like any Republican. He's getting away with it. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Sunny, 32 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Xcel Energy. Lawyers for Kobe Bryant say that some employees of the Eagle County Sheriff's Office ordered T-shirts depicting a hangman figure along with derogatory remarks about Bryant. Lawyer Pamela Mackey says the shirts show, quote, the bias of the investigating agencies. RTD wants to annex Park Meadows Mall because of tax purposes. If that happens, sales taxes at Park Meadows would go up with millions going to RTD. The additional income to RTD could result in a direct light rail line to the mall. A woman getting into her car at the Cherry Creek Mall parking structure was attacked by a man at knife point. She fought off the man when he tried to force her into the car. He took off with the woman's 1996 Mitsubishi Galant with a personalized plate reading BG Barb and a CU plate frame. The Federal Reserve has left interest rates unchanged. The Fed's Policy Setting Committee announced today, the federal funds rate charged on overnight loans between banks will remain at a 45-year low of 1%. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are in Atlanta tonight to take on the Hawks. Using a programmable thermostat can save you up to $75 a year. Visit the Home Energy Analyzer tool at xlenergy.com for more energy-saving tips. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:38.
The following conversation is real. It took place on October 8th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Terry. How may I help you?
I just locked the keys in my truck.
All right. I'm sorry to hear that happen.
Yes, it's been a rough day.
Now,
but I know you can help me.
We can help you. We can help you. We'll turn all that around for you.
Thank you.
Do you have your home phone number?
610.
If you need your vehicle doors unlocked, an OnStar advisor can assist you.
Is there a phone number we can call you back on?
Luckily, I have my cell phone in my pocket. It's 484.
Many Chevrolet cars and trucks are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com.
Hello.
Hello, this is Terry with OnStar. Your door should be open now. You want to check it?
Oh, okay. I've never had to use the service. Oh, it's open! Great! I can go home.
All right. Is there anything else we can help you with?
Oh, no. You've done great enough, and I thank you.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
KNRC News Time is 12:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Denver Pavilions. Got a multi-vehicle accident southbound I-25 right at the Monument Hill. Just several accidents between Monument and the Greenland exit, so watch for that. It's just a real slick drive going down to Colorado Springs. Colorado and Iowa in the city, we watch out for an accident there. Experience an authentic German Christmas market only at the Denver Pavilions. The Denver Pavilions presents Christkindl Market through December 21st. Go to DenverPavilions.com for details. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy, 34 for the high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear and very cold, dropping down to 14. But Wednesday does warm up a little bit, partly cloudy, 41. And we keep it partly cloudy Thursday. But the winds pick up from the west. Look for a high of 43. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 32 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
Just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
I see. Market Watch.
Moments ago, the Federal Reserve Board announcing its decision on short-term interest rates. Market Watch correspondent John Wurdock is live at the U.S. Treasury Department in Washington. John, what's the word?
Andrew, the Fed has left rates unchanged at 1%, but Chairman Alan Greenspan and company have altered their statement about the economy. The Fed saying output is expanding briskly and the labor market is improving modestly. The Fed also saying, given those conditions, rates could be low for a considerable period.
Market Watch correspondent John Wurdock reporting live from the U.S. Treasury Department. Wall Street's response to the Fed tempered thus far. The Dow is up 29 points. The S&P 500 is down a fraction. The Nasdaq is losing 12 points. The other big story today, the Dow crossing the 10,000 level for the first time since May 2002, early today, before scaling back. Once again, in line with predictions of most economists, the Federal Reserve leaving short-term interest rates where they are. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1242 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about a meditation on generosity and why it's necessary to give. Thursday, tentatively, we have Paul Krugman from the New York Times. Friday, live from the Denver Press Club, the holiday edition. Next week, Sheila Lukens. And we are going to have a Tell It to Tim segment. It's right now booked for next week, but we'll see about that. And as we continue, so save up your questions. Tim Brown is our CEO, and backed by popular demand, Tell It to Tim. So any comments you want to make about KNRC, good, bad, indifferent, any comments you want to make about the lineup, any comments you want to make about the talent, any comments you want to make about the radio station, the signal, I mean, anything you want to say, we'll do a whole hour, Tell It to Tim. So I'll let you know as we get closer. The big news is that Representative Janklow, I hope that he would resign. Well, let me just go back. First of all, if you're just joining us, here's what we've been talking about. Andrew Resnick, the Channel 9 weekend anchor, got busted for some ecstasy, being in possession of some ecstasy, buying some ecstasy at a rock concert. He's going to be back on Channel 9. He's been on unpaid leave this whole time. He's coming back, but as a general assignment reporter, not as an anchor. And I think that's probably a pretty decent compromise, and I'm glad he didn't get fired. I'm not familiar with his work. I've not really seen it. Those of you who have seen it, if you want to weigh in on that, 303-382-1150. And how is it different from Rush? I think it's different from Rush in a lot of ways. I mean, for both of them, you have to be in a lot of pain to be doing drugs. And in Rush's case, massive pain to want to sacrifice your hearing in order to maintain your emotional and physical equilibrium. But Rush set himself up to be a moral arbitrator. Anybody who did drugs he thought should be locked up with the key thrown away, sent up the river for good. He slimed criminal defense attorneys until he needed one. I mean, in every way, he was a hypocrite. Andrew Resnick, you know, he was a reader. He was a news reader. He introduced stories on television. Big deal. It's different. In both cases, though, I would say if you have a drug problem, I'd like to see it decriminalized. I'd like to see it become a public health issue. I think we lost the war on drugs a long, long time ago, and that money ought to be used to make rehab more available to people. If you're Rush, you can afford rehab. But if you're an ordinary citizen, it's often beyond your means to be able to do it. And municipalities are now so strapped that they offer not a whole lot either. Denver doesn't offer a whole lot. I think you get support groups, and you got to pay for them. $30 or so every week. Once a week, are you going to be able to, if you go to a support group, you're going to get off hardcore drugs just by going to a support group once a week? I don't think so. We're also talking about Michael Jackson. There was a report, a bombshell. LAPD said that any sexual abuse claims are unfounded, and this was in February of this year. So, and they interviewed all the people who are now alleging that Michael Jackson committed abuse. I guess you could make the case that maybe the abuse happened between February of 2003 and December or November of 2003. I don't know. But in any event, as of February of 2003, social services and so on, a special unit in the LAPD, they say that sex abuse claims are unfounded. We're also talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger, who has promised a lot of things, but hasn't really delivered on a lot of things. He promised that he would give his views in depth to the press, and he never did. And then when he got elected, he said, hey, that's old news, forget it. And he promised to appoint a private investigator to look into allegations that he groped women. And now he says, hey, nobody will believe the conclusion anyway. In the meantime, a woman who did come forward, they slimed her right before, on the eve practically of the election. They knew that there was it seems to me that they knew that it wasn't the same Rhonda Miller. They wrote this thing so carefully to put journalists onto the scent of a Rhonda Miller, someone with the same name who had an extensive rap sheet, but it was not the woman who came forward who has the same name. This was a woman who worked as a stunt woman in Hollywood. She has had steady work ever since the early 90s, and once the story came out exposing her as a criminal, with an extensive rap sheet, which she was not. It was another Rhonda Miller. She hasn't had a bit of work. The phones have been silent. She is now suing Arnold Schwarzenegger. You go, girl, is all I can say. And you can go right to the phones and make yourselves heard at 303-382-1150. I want to add to the mix of what we're discussing, Representative Janklow. Guilty, guilty, and guilty. I couldn't believe it. I was at the gym last night. I was in the locker room. They have a TV there. And there was the report. Guilty, guilty, guilty. And these are people. It's a real small town. These are people he's grown up with. These are people, when they filed back in to the courtroom, averted their eyes. They wouldn't look at him, which is usually a sign that it's not going to go well. Guilty on everything. And he has now resigned. He is guilty of manslaughter. He could be doing some jail time. I don't know. He was a former governor. Here he is, a former representative, now former, and he's resigned from Congress. And the question that I asked is, what is the count in the House of Representatives? The Democrats, currently it's 207 Democrats and 228 Republicans. So Janklow was very close to, he had a very close challenger in a Democrat, and she's making noises about getting involved again and running for his seat. So here is Janklow, a man who has been described by a lot of people as extremely arrogant. There were allegations of sexual abuse with him and a babysitter years and years ago. I don't know. It may be a question of his karma catching up with him, but he is guilty. He may have to, on these manslaughter charges, he may have to do, it carries a prison sentence of something like up to 10 years. And he lied. I mean, very clearly he lied, and the jury did not believe him. And they hated to find him guilty and everything, but they were reported as having said, when we looked at the evidence and we had to deal with the judge's instructions, this is the only way it could go. So even if a Democrat gets his seat, it would make the count 208 Democrats to 227 Republicans. But we will see what happens. Janklow finally resigning. I'm glad that he is resigning. I think that's a happy day for everybody. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Well, you have got Joe Lieberman kind of upset because Al Gore didn't endorse him, his former running mate. He said he would wait to see whether Al Gore was going to run or not. As to whether or not he would run for the presidency in 2004, Gore's not going to run, so Lieberman has thrown his hat in the ring. And Al Gore did not return the favor. Instead, Al Gore is endorsing Howard Dean. And Howard Dean looks like the runaway guy. Now, I wonder what you think about that. John Kerry has given this interview in Rolling Stone magazine. You have Molly Ivins endorsing Howard Dean. You have Al Gore endorsing Howard Dean. You have this incredible campaign that has broken all of the rules. First of all, it's not big corporate donations. It's ordinary citizens. A lot of them are young. A lot of them have never been involved in campaigns before. And here's the question. Where's Mrs. Dean? He has not got his wife with him on the stump. She has been living her own life. She has said that she wants to just continue on as a doctor. She bought one new red suit. She's avoided all these interviews. Eventually, she's going to have to make herself known. And if she thinks she can continue to treat patients and go to the emergency room with a Secret Service detail, I think she's probably going to see that her life will change dramatically if, in fact, he wins. She's been known to be unenthusiastic about his candidacy, but said to him, if this is what you want, go for it. So here you've got Gore, who Lieberman feels shafted by, seduced and abandoned by, endorsing Howard Dean as president. Is this going to be a plus or a minus for Howard Dean? Does this bring in the more centrist part of the Democratic Party? Even though Dean is portrayed as a wild-eyed liberal, in fact, he's not. He was not liberal in Vermont. I guess compared to these right-wing conservatives that are so trying to dominate the Republican Party, he looks like a wild-eyed liberal, a wild-eyed leftist. But in fact, he's pretty solid. It's just that people, that isn't the perception of him right now. What do you think the Gore endorsement will do for Howard Dean? And does he have a chance against the Republicans? A lot of people think that there's going to be no chance against the Republicans, that Bush will take it, no matter what, no matter what horrible stories come out, no matter how incompetent he seemed to be, that he will somehow take the next election. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Office Max has gift delights at a low guaranteed price, so you can finally get it right. Office Max gifts that work.
'Tis the season for the Office Max Business Machine event. This week, save $10 to $100 off our entire selection of business machines, including all-in-ones, printers, and photo printers. Like the HP 1012 LaserJet printer for only $149.99. Save $50 this week only. This holiday, give gifts that work. From Office Max. While supplies last, see store for details.
Join AM 1150 KNRC in sharing the spirit of the holidays by donating a gift to a child suffering a serious illness. The Starlight Children's Foundation is dedicated to improving the lives of seriously ill children by providing games, toys, and bedside computers. This entertainment therapy reduces the need for pain medication and alleviates the stress and boredom that are part of long-term hospital stays. You can help by going to any local Starbucks, picking up a holiday angel's ornament with gift suggestions, and returning a new unwrapped gift. Don't do plush animals because they're afraid of the bacteria count in plush animals. But return any new unwrapped gift to any Starbucks location by December 25. And a lot of the kids are teenagers. So think about gifts for kids at that age group. Help a child this holiday season.
KNRC Community Commitment.
Arts and crafts abound at the Arvada Center's 17th Annual Art Market Show and Sale, now through December 14th. The Art Market features the work of more than 160 talented artists in a variety of mediums, including ceramics, glass, furniture, sculpture, painting, and photography. Admission is free, and prices for pieces in the art show start at just $10. For information on the Arvada Center's Art Market, call the Arvada Center box office at 720-898-7200.
This Friday only, it's the Ace One-Day Sale. Over $145 in available mail-in rebates. Get great gifts, like a Black & Decker Dustbuster for $14.99. Just $9.99 after $5 mail-in rebate. A Rival Slow Cooker, $24.99. Just $14.99 after $10 mail-in rebate. And Ever-Ready Multi-Pack Batteries, $7.99. Just 99 cents after mail-in rebate. This Friday only, at Ace.
Mail-in rebate void in Connecticut. Prices may vary at participating Ace hardware retailers. Quantities may be limited.
Meeny, meeny, miny, meet Mo. The world of color laser printers just got a better choice, Tiger. The full line of color laser printers from Ricoh. The new choice of the tech intelligentsia. From the Tiny Wonder AP206 to the award-winning AP3800 system, Ricoh gives you a choice beyond the usual suspects. That's why thousands of companies are turning to Ricoh Color to share their ideas. So the choice is clear. Meeny, meeny, miny, Ricoh.
Ricoh, dependable digital.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:55 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. For those of you, I'm still getting emails about yesterday's interview with Bev Harris, blackboxvoting.org. The interview is up on our website, so you just access knrcradio.com, and I'm not exactly sure how you access the interviews. How do you do the show archives and then Enid, and then it'll somehow it'll take you to the list of interviews. So it's right at the top, Joe tells me. So the Bev Harris interview on, you have got to get up to speed on that. The mainstream media for some reason has ignored this story. She says she's going to have a bombshell, how one person has been able to control millions of votes. This is about voting machines where you can they can change the votes and they never leave any tracks at all. And the software is stunningly, shockingly flawed. And there are all kinds of security lapses and breaches. And it isn't only her conclusion, but Johns Hopkins has studied the software. Rice University, I believe, has also studied it. The state of Maryland, they've all come to the same conclusion. So we're trying desperately to get you out to the polls to vote. To step up to the plate and take on your responsibility as a citizen of a democracy, because a democracy doesn't work if you don't participate in it. And then only to find out that even if you do vote, your vote could be changed and nullified. And some of these voting recent elections have been extremely questionable. In Georgia, for example, I was scratching my head. I was thinking, how could Max Cleland, a man who so clearly is patriotic, is so obviously in, he has left three limbs in Vietnam, who every day for him must be a struggle of one sort or another, just to do the basic things that you and I routinely do. And for him to be called unpatriotic by some Republican, and that Republican to win the election, I'm thinking, God, the Republican attack machine must be just brilliant. Brilliant. So, how did they do that? Well, it turns out that it was an even worse story with the governor of Georgia. Cleland was running as an incumbent, a senator in Georgia, and the Democratic governor, an incumbent, wildly popular, projected to win by something like as many as 9 or 11 points, and they both lost big time. And Georgia was the state that took on all this electronic, made a huge shift using all electronic voting gear. And it isn't until recently that people have begun to ask the question about whether the election was manipulated in some way. But the book that you can get is called Black Box Voting, Ballot Tampering in the 21st Century by Bev Harris. You can download it. Go to her website, www.blackboxvoting.org. Also, coloradovoter.net. Also, verifiedvoting.org. And the legislation that you should be interested in is H.R. 2239, Voter Confidence and Increased Accessibility Act of 2003. You can call or email your representative and ask them to support H.R. Bill 2239. Call Congresswoman Diana DeGette. You can call her in Denver. Go, you know, go check who your representatives are. It's in the front of the phone book. And contact them. Also, you can go to Senate.gov or, what is it, House.gov, something like that, online, and find out. But this is one way that you can keep tabs. And I think if they know that more of us are onto this and more of us are concerned about it, more of us are aware, more of us are keeping tabs, something eventually happens. A tipping point occurs. So my question is, Dean, being endorsed by Gore, do you think that this will cause some, is there going to be some tipping point? What will the tipping point be to get Bush out of the White House? That's my question. Do you think that people are getting so outraged that even people who are couch potatoes are finally going to act? I'm not getting that sense, unfortunately. Are you? 303-382-1150. As we continue, I have some shocking stories I want to share with you about the administration. Coming up, two more hours of Enid, right here on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, AM 1150.
Both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon, sunny, 32 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by local REMAX offices. So, how much snow did you get?
3 to 6 inches, with the highest amounts near the southern suburbs and western foothill areas. The highest amounts were got about 8 inches by Sedalia, 8 inches in Boulder area.
That's Kyle Fordine, a forecaster with the National Weather Service. He says we may see some more snow Wednesday night into Thursday, but he says that that probably won't drop too much snow.
At this point, it looks like a fast little moving system, and I don't think we're going to really see much out of that one. A better chance comes, let's see, Friday into Friday night. We'll see a better chance for snow, and then again on Monday.
While the snow played havoc for drivers during the rush hours last night and this morning, skiers are happy. Ainsley Kasten with Loveland Ski Area says the 13 inches of powder that fell overnight there has resulted in a lot of happy skiers.
Our numbers have been great. We're really excited. People are lining up first thing in the morning, the last two mornings, for first chair to get those powder runs in.
The folks at Copper Mountain report 5 new inches of snow overnight, too. A rash of recent burglaries in Boulder has the cops concerned. Sergeant Kerry Yamaguchi says these include 2 burglaries over the past couple of days.
In each of the burglaries, during or close to the time that the burglaries are committed, right before the burglaries are committed, the victims reported having a magazine solicitor come to their doors.
Yamaguchi says police still don't know if there's a link between the solicitors and the burglaries. The items snatched, he says, include cash, jewelry, computers, and other small electronic stuff. The Regional Transportation District wants to annex Park Meadows Mall. RTD started the process to pull the upscale mall into its fold for tax purposes. The move would raise the sales taxes at the mall, and that money will go to RTD, giving it millions in income. And they say it could result in a direct light rail line to the mall. The move is made possible by the residents of Lone Tree, who voted last month to make their town part of the RTD tax area. A woman who was getting into her car at the Cherry Creek Mall parking structure was attacked by a man at knife point. He tried to force her into her car, but she fought him off and escaped without getting hurt. The man took the woman's car, a 1996 maroon Mitsubishi Galant, with a personalized plate reading BGBARB, and it has a University of Colorado plate frame. The alleged attacker, described as a white male around 45 years of age, 5 feet 6 inches tall, weighs about 180 pounds. Former Vice President Al Gore's decision to endorse ex-Vermont Governor Howard Dean for the Democratic presidential nomination doesn't just deal a severe blow to Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman's White House aspirations. Darrow McMiller, a political science professor at the University of Hartford, says it could be a strategic move on the part of the party.
In many ways, Dean has the momentum, and I think the sooner the party is able to sort of unite around a particular candidate, I think the easier it will be to, you know, sort of get the fundraising that needs to be done accomplished.
McMiller says the announcement, which took place in Harlem, shows Dean recognizes he must connect with African Americans, historically strong supporters of the former vice president. The Federal Reserve has left interest rates unchanged. The Fed's Policy Setting Committee announced today the federal funds rate charged on overnight loans between banks will remain at a 45-year low of 1%. The non-action was expected, as many Wall Street analysts thought no changes would be made while the economy continues its recovery. The number of American troops wounded when a suicide car bomber charged the gates of the U.S. military base in Mosul is now up to nearly 60. The U.S. military officials say four of the 58 soldiers were seriously injured and had to be evacuated to a military hospital. Three Iraqis were also injured in the blast in the northern Iraqi city. The Rhinestone Cowboy was arraigned in court today on assault charges. He's accused of kneeing an officer while in custody on suspicion of DUI. Glenn Campbell pleaded not guilty and spoke with reporters outside the courthouse.
They were very, very nice to me.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've ever been in court, you know. First time I've messed up in 67 years.
That's yeah.
Anything to say to your fans?
Yeah, don't ever do it. Don't drink, don't smoke, and don't cuss.
Campbell's also charged with extreme DUI, leaving the scene of an accident, too. He was taken into custody on November 24th. He'll be back in court on January 15th. In sports, the Denver Nuggets haven't won a game in Atlanta in nearly 15 years, but tonight could be the night to turn that around. Nuggets are off to their best start in years. They're at 13-7. So far, the Hawks are struggling at 6-15. When you're looking to buy or sell a home, look for the name that brings results. REMAX. There's a REMAX real estate office near you, so call them today. REMAX, outstanding agents, outstanding results. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over a dollar a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Metabolife, and really the bad part's going to be heading down towards Colorado Springs. Have had multiple accidents between Monument Hill and the Greenland exit, so watch for that. In town, we got an accident Alameda and Havana, and something going on, the Boulder Turnpike right at McCaslin. Metabolife Ultra can help you keep your diet on track this holiday season. The ingredients in Metabolife Ultra are clinically shown to promote weight loss and increase energy. Get Metabolife Ultra today. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy skies for the rest of today. The high 34. For tonight, mostly clear down to 14. And Wednesday will be a little warmer with partly cloudy skies again, up to 41. Partly cloudy and breezy. West winds 15 to 25 miles an hour for Thursday. The high 43. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 32 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock and it's sunny and low dough, and I think some of the snow is melting. There was a lot down here last night. It was, if you didn't have to be out in it, it was like a winter wonderland. I just sat there watching it come down. It was so glorious. I really like this. And what I love about Denver is the variation. I mean, over the weekend, it felt like it was almost 70 degrees. I think it was in the middle 60s. But it in the sun, it was higher than the middle 60s. It felt like about 70-something on the weekend. And then, you know, one day later, you have all this snow, and it's a whole different story. First of all, we are confirmed with Paul Krugman. So good work, Joe Anderson. We're confirmed with Paul Krugman, New York Times columnist, economist, shortlisted for the Nobel Prize in Economics. I think. And he will be with us on Thursday, columnist for the New York Times, and I like his work a lot, and he's the only one who's been feisty about taking on the Bush administration. So we're delighted to have him on Wednesday, tomorrow, a meditation on generosity and why it's necessary to give. This is Julie Salomon, who's written a book about it. It's called Rambam's Ladder, going back to like maybe the 9th or the 10th century. So she'll be joining us tomorrow, Friday, live from the Denver Press Club, the holiday edition. So I expect we'll have some fun. Next week, Sheila Lukens, you probably read Parade. I think she's in Parade Magazine rather than USA Sunday Magazine. I think she's in Parade. She has all these cookbooks. She's great. She's written one on Celebrate. So 43 celebrations, 350 recipes. And I've actually tried some of her recipes, and here I am, a lousy cook. But she's a pretty good recipe writer, and I've loved her work a lot. So she's going to be joining us next week. And back by popular demand, Tell It to Tim, next Wednesday, 1 o'clock, December the 17th. Tim Brown is our CEO, and every once in a while, it's sort of an occasional series that we do here. He comes on the show. It's going to be a whole hour with him at 1 o'clock, and you are free to tell him anything. This is feedback about the station. You tell him exactly what's on your mind, whether what you love about the station, what you hate about the station, what you love about the talent, what you hate about the talent. Do you like the new programming changes? Don't you like the new programming changes? Whatever is on your mind, what about the signal? Do you get the signal where you are? Was the old one better? Is the new one better? Anything that's on your mind, suggestions for shows or anything. So that's next Wednesday. Put it on your calendar, 1 p.m. Tell It to Tim. He'll be with us live in studio, and we hope he's live after the hour is over. It depends on what you have to say to him. So with that, 303-382-1150. And here is an email from Eric. One of you called me earlier, Dan called me a hypocrite, because I'm advocating therapy for Andrew Resnick, who's going to be joining back on Channel 9 again. He's been on unpaid leave because he was caught buying ecstasy, but three pills or something, at a rock concert. So here, and I'm comparing him to Rush Limbaugh. And what I said about Rush is Rush set himself up as this moral paragon, and Andrew did not. Andrew's just a newsreader. So I think Rush is far more culpable here than Andrew. But in any event, These are really largely public health issues. But here's Eric. Says Rush Limbaugh was an honorary member of Congress, and whose Ditto clones actually bombarded legislators and infected the outcome of at least two specific bills. Rush Limbaugh is also a hypocrite vis-a-vis his views toward drug addicts. Differences between the most influential talk radio host of this era and a newsreader nobody's ever heard of is like the difference between George Bush and Barry Goldwater. Oh, my goodness. It's the difference between apples and oranges. Liz, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, I am calling to implore you not to fall for Howard Dean.
Why?
He's a train wreck for the Democratic Party, for crying out loud.
But he's leading in the polls big time, way more than John Kerry. Who's your guy for the Democrats then?
The Democrats have not presented me with a candidate that I can back right now. I would love to give a scathing exegesis of Dean, but you don't have time. But there's nothing substantive about his foreign policy.
Oh, and
he's backpedaled on every domestic policy issue. There's so many things wrong with him.
But wait a minute, wouldn't know foreign policy if it came and bit him on the nose. I mean, what did he know about anything when he took over? He had not even hardly been to Europe, I think, only but once or twice.
I think he knew more than Dean does. Have you, like, really heard him really talk in detail about what he plans to do? It's not good. And most of his supporters that I've talked to seem to be kind of stuck in, like, an eighth grade level.
But he did a good job. Yeah, but
huh?
Liz, he did a good job in Vermont. The voters kept returning him to office. He serves roughly 10 years as governor of Vermont, and by all accounts, he did a wonderful job. Now, Bush was only governor, and it was a weak governorship. It didn't care. It was largely a ceremonial position in Texas.
I'm not saying that I like Bush, but all I know really about Dean is that he's anti-Bush and he's anti-war. And was he really anti-war? He didn't have to vote. We don't really know what he would have done. And since he's backpedaled on everything, I'm not 100% sure that he wouldn't have voted for it.
Are you going to vote in the presidential election?
I am, and it's going to be a huge conundrum because,
anybody but Bush. How could you vote for Bush? Are you going to vote for Bush? If you hate the Democratic candidate, would you still vote for Bush?
I don't know if I could do that. I'm going to vote for sure, but I have something really scary to tell you about the Colorado Democratic Party. I emailed them like a month ago and said I'd like to volunteer. I told them, you know, I'm fairly articulate. I'm a college student, blah, blah, blah. I have fundraising skills. And I waited for them to send me something back. And they sent me a form back saying that I could send them $25 or $100. But I spend all my money on shoes and mocha lattes, so I can't spend the money. But, so I didn't think of anything, you know, anything.
They
about
didn't
it.
Say they didn't say we can use you for.
No, listen to this. Listen to this.
Oh, this is terrible.
They didn't get back to me, right? Okay, they sent me the form that I could send them money. So I told a friend of mine this, and he suggested that just for kicks that I email the Colorado Republican Party. And with the same info and see how they handled it. And Enid, within 47 minutes, I got a reply with contact names and numbers and essentially a spiel saying, we'd love to have you.
All right. Who did you contact on the Democratic side?
There's a form that you can go to on both of them, on the Colorado and on the Republican, which is just that you click on volunteer on the website and fill out this form.
Is this the Denver or is this one of the counties?
This is the one over on 7th and Santa Fe. This is the Colorado Democratic Party. And on both of them, on Colorado one too, there's just this generic form that you could fill out saying that you would like to volunteer and any additional comments.
Oh, Liz, I'm so glad you told us this. The Jefferson County Democrats have asked me to speak at an event that they're having. But that's Jefferson County. This is presumably Denver County or statewide or what?
This is Colorado State Democratic Party.
And so you click on this, and what they want is your money, and they don't put you to work in any way, shape, or form. But the Republicans
They don't want me to help them out. There's a million things. I'm pretty persuasive. I could do so much on campus. I could do a million thousand things, even if I can't get behind Dean right now.
Oh, Liz, this breaks my heart. Why don't you email me the stuff that the Republicans... Can you do that? Email me the stuff that the Republicans sent you, and email me the stuff that the Democrats sent you.
Well, the Democrats didn't send me anything.
Well, they sent you a form wanting more money from you.
Yeah, just the form. And then the Republicans, I got a personal thing back.
Wow.
Yeah, can you believe it?
Wow. Well, that's it for Colorado. We know where it's going in the next election if the Democrats don't wake themselves up. All right, I'm going to put out a call to the Democratic Party. I hope somebody is listening from the Democratic Party. Why, when Liz, who's clearly one of our best callers, very bright, and would be a tremendous asset. How come when she offers to volunteer, nobody is hopping on it? That's the question. And what else, Liz?
Well, I'm really disenchanted with the Democratic Party. I think they're imploding, and I think Dean doesn't have a chance. He's unelectable, and most people really don't realize that. He's unelectable for so, so many reasons.
Because you don't think he has detailed his foreign policy and what his programs are going to be?
He switches back. Have you read David Brooks's columnist?
I saw David Brooks, but you know, David Brooks is a conservative. David Brooks.
No, he makes a ton of sense, though, in what he's saying about Dean. You know, why aren't minorities buying his shtick? He cannot win the heartland, the flyover states. He can't.
I'm not willing to concede that. Molly Ivins is for him. Gore endorsed him.
Backstabbing Gore. He backstabs Lieberman.
He did backstab Lieberman, but still, Lieberman's got no chance. John Kerry's trailing badly. Gebhardt is uninteresting.
Let me ask you, is it too much to ask for that I want someone, just anybody but Bush, that I want someone more than that, that I want a candidate with substance, that I want someone who can beat Bush?
Can you
go? Is that too much to ask for?
Can you go for Wesley Clark?
No, he's terrible.
He is terrible. And John Edwards is too light and too pretty, and he doesn't have enough experience. He's not the right
heinous.
Guy.
Kerry should have done it, but I guess he just doesn't have it.
Kerry is among the nearly comatose. You know, you could stuff him and put him on top of your mantle, and you wouldn't know the difference.
But Bush polls pretty evenly against the generic Democrat, but when you put him against Dean, he polls really, really well. And when Bush and the full frontal assault of the Republican machine come knocking on Dean's door, it's not going to be pretty, Enid.
Well, Liz, I really and sincerely hope you're wrong, but I am so glad that you called about this information on the Democratic Party and how they are asleep at the wheel. They've given up, and the election hasn't even begun yet.
Who do you quote that says that the Democrats have gone out for a latte? Who says that?
Michael Moore. He said they get up. He said they get up late, and then they go out for a latte. And meanwhile, the conservatives, they're so, you know, they've got fire burning in the belly. They get up early. They organize.
In 47 minutes, they get back to me.
47 minutes.
From a generic form, yeah.
I'm going to put out a call to Democrats. Where are you, Democrats? This is Liz. You would be nuts if you didn't take her on. You ought to be like a communications director for somebody. Would you like to do that? Huh?
Please.
You could. That's how Dee Dee Myers got her job. You could do that, Liz.
I'm too busy at Starbucks.
Well, thank you for the call.
Bye.
Bye. 303-382-1150. All right. This is a sad story. Liz has done some research for us, as it turns out, but she emails the Democrats because she wants to volunteer. And what do the Democrats do? Nothing. They send her forms so she can make a contribution, send some money in. She emails the Republicans saying she wants to volunteer, and in just a few minutes, they're right back at her with a form and who she can contact, and they are organized. Why aren't the Democrats organized? What's the story here? Anybody who's a Democrat who is part of the party machinery, I want to hear from you. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. It's a scandal. John, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello?
Hi, John.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
I just wanted to say that although I disagreed with the last caller's take on the Dean candidacy, I think he's probably a very viable candidate. I had the same experience when I walked into the Colorado Democratic Party. Same office she talked about. I went in to offer my services and to volunteer, and they had absolutely nothing for me, and I've never heard anything from them since.
When did you offer?
This was about a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Did you walk in? Was there somebody sitting behind a desk? What was
there? There were two or three people in the office. I walked in and spoke to the office manager, said, you know, I have time, and I'm articulate and well-educated, and I'd like to put my efforts to use for the Democratic Party, and they have not said anything or sent me anything since.
Well, if they don't get it together, I'm not going to be a featured speaker for them, because they better just get their act together here. This is crazy.
Well, it does concern me that the Republicans seem to have so much more of a grassroots volunteer organization.
Well, clearly they have somebody in charge and somebody who's willing to, they have some kind of a plan, so that Liz says you can, if you email them, apparently they send you back all the contacts, and they have some sort of a program, and the Democrats have not got it together. What is the story?
I know it's especially concerning in that Denver and Boulder are the only two strongholds the Democrats have.
Who's in charge?
Who's in really
Let's find out who's the person that we should talk to. Who's in charge? Who's high ranking in the party? I don't mean elected, but who's high ranking in the party who is in charge of all that stuff? Or theoretically would be in charge of it. Let's get a name and we'll call him up.
I think we should.
All right, who is it? Do you know offhand?
I don't.
Okay, somebody does call me right now, 303. Thanks a lot, John,
for
that report. 303-382-1150. Michael, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, Enid, I want to rebut what the young lady said and your last caller there. In particular, number one, I am identified with a very pro Democratic Party organization here in the state, but I have to tell you that in all due honesty, especially the last local elections and leading up to, you know, the national elections this coming year, they are looking for volunteers, and if you call them and...
But we have two people who just called the program to say that they tried to volunteer, they never heard another word. In Liz's case, they tried to solicit her for money.
No, well, they are soliciting for money just the same way Republicans are going to solicit people for money for individual contributions. Enid, that's not anything that's out of the ordinary. I mean, do you honestly believe that the Republicans, you know, would send you a contact?
But if you call in, if I wanted to volunteer, I would be offended to get a donation solicitation from them instead of a contact sheet that would tell me who to get in touch with, what I could be doing, the list of volunteer activities that I could participate in, when they might have an orientation meeting, etc.
Right.
I would be so offended that I would never.
I question the veracity of the young lady.
We have had two people calling in to say essentially the same thing.
That's fine. Like I said, you know, generally speaking, quite a few members of my union in particular, just rank and file, this is not people that sit on any kind of boards or anything, have volunteered, and we are going out and trying trying to get people.
But who has organized you? Has your union organized you, or has the Democratic Party organized you?
It's through the Colorado State Democratic Party and through our union.
I'm putting the call out to the Colorado State Democratic Party.
If this did happen, and it's not to say that people wouldn't fall asleep at the wheel from time to time and all, and, you know, if you think that the Republicans do have a grassroots following, that's true, but there's a tremendous grassroots following of Democrats here.
I don't know. They sound like they're half dead.
Well, you know, you might consider that, but there's a lot of very angry people that are in service and trade unions and all of that that are working and having caucuses, having meetings at you know, private homes.
Oh, sure. You know, a lot of caucuses, a lot of meetings, but what about getting out and doing what has to be done and making
the
phone calls, writing letters to the editors, calling your legislators?
Writing letters and everything doesn't just happen, you know, just doesn't spring out of your head. You have to have people come together and decide on what a strategy is going to be and all. And the strategy right now is to get the word out and to start saying, you know, things that you don't hear in the media.
All right.
The mass media.
Michael, you're going to have the last word on that one, but I want people who have tried
to call in. Call them now and put their feet to the fire, because I honestly believe that, you know, there's shades of gray with everyone's opinion. And the young lady that spoke beforehand, you know, I'm not impressed with her. She wouldn't give any money because she went out and spent it all on shoes.
Oh, Michael, stop it. All right. Thanks for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
Some stations brag about serving 35 states. We're proud to serve Denver. Local radio. AM 1150, KNRC.
One of the season's most exciting family traditions is now at one of Colorado's most beautiful theaters. Don't miss the Nutcracker at the Paramount. Colorado Ballet is proud to feature the story of a magical winter night. This season with fresh costumes, sets, and new effects in downtown Denver's only remaining classic 1930s era theater. And parking is free at Plaza Parking Garage with any Nutcracker ticket stub. Now tickets start at just $20 and they're on sale now at the Pepsi Center box office and all Ticketmaster outlets. The Nutcracker at the Paramount is showing now through December 28th. Visit ColoradoBallet.com or call 303-357-ARTS for schedule and ticket information. Celebrate this holiday tradition or begin a new family tradition in the heart of downtown Denver. Colorado Ballet's The Nutcracker at the Paramount, a classic performance now in a classic new home. Tickets are on sale now, but seating is limited, so order early. Visit ColoradoBallet.com or call 303-357-ARTS today.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett, and I'm inviting you to get your holiday cheer from Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, located at 12th and Broadway. Well, it's that time of the year with the holidays, and a lot's going on between now and the first of the year. And Brenda Francis from Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits is here with me now. Brenda, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Doug, and you?
I need your help. We got holiday parties, just any good time with friends. Help me out here.
Well, Doug, we pride ourselves on finding inexpensive bottles of wine that will just knock your socks off. Any occasion that you have, in any price range, we can find the perfect bottle or case of wine. If you're entertaining, we can work with any budget so that all of your friends will be impressed with the wines that you served at your party.
Golden Triangle is very tech-savvy, too. They have a great website where you can view sales items and sign up for the weekly newsletter. Go to GoldenTriangleWines.com. And don't forget, you'll get a 10% discount off wines if you tell them you heard it right here on KNRC.
Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits. We're variety, pricing, and convenience intersect at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8437.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 Key Bank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the 3-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 Key Bank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
127 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Liz called in, if you're just joining us. Liz is one of our callers, and she tried to volunteer her services to the Democratic Party. I guess the state, there's some website I guess you can go to. She hears back from him 3 years later, and they bombard her with solicitation for a donation. She does the same to the Republicans, and within, you know, milliseconds practically, they're back to her. And they have a contact sheet, all the people she can get in touch with. And the Democrats apparently are asleep at the wheel. Now, is this... Now, we've had two callers to say the same thing. Another caller who called in to say that he tried to volunteer and they really had nothing for him and he's never heard from them again. So, this is an open call to Democrats. What are you doing here with people who are trying to volunteer? We're trying to get people to help you. And then you have no plan. You have no program. You're just going to go nowhere. Is that the story here? 303-382-1150. Has anybody else had, what has your experience been? Have you had the same sort of response? Have you actually, found more responsiveness? Are these atypical examples that two people have called us about? Bob, calling from Arvada. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. I wanted to call and respond about that caller, Liz, and also I wanted to tell people about a meeting happening tonight related to the electronic voting machines.
Okay.
First, Liz made some very valid points. I have experienced the same thing when I've called into the Democratic Party. They're very disorganized. The Republicans are much better organized. You try to find out any information, and you find out listings anywhere you go, young Republicans or, you know, Chamber of Commerce breakfast, whatever. It's pretty difficult to find that kind of information about the Dems. I do disagree with her about Dean's chances. I think he is definitely appealing to the heartland, but I think the bigger issue is that you can't really pay any attention to national polls. They don't really mean anything yet because people don't even, national pollsters are saying that the average man or woman on the street, they can't even name a Democratic candidate. It's just not in the horizon yet. So,
well, and it depends on the poll. I've seen polls where even against a generic Democrat, Bush is not doing so well, and against specific Democrats, I saw a different poll than Liz referenced, and this is a while ago, against specific Democrats, like, as I recall, Dean and Kerry, Bush didn't fare so well. But, you know, that was a while back. I don't know what the latest is. I haven't seen anything lately, actually.
I think that... the caller that you had yesterday, Bev Harris, talking about the electronic voting machines,
mm-hmm.
In Colorado, we have started a group called the Coloradans for Voting Integrity. We will be having our first meeting this evening from 7 to 9 in Golden at 2801 Youngfield Street and in Suite 360. And we are attracting interest from all over the state. In fact, even Bev Harris has contacted us to work in conjunction with us.
Well, she told some real horror stories about stuff that's going on in Colorado Springs and how these electronic voting machine companies were trying to put the blame on official, local officials, when in fact they were the ones that were at blame.
In
so
fact, there are,
she's going to expose more this week, she says.
She says that, and I am sure she will, unless she gets pressured by some of these machine manufacturers. They have hacked into her site. They've done a number of things to her that she wasn't willing to go into yesterday. So, you know, it is somewhat frightening what people can be intimidated from. But I do want to invite people, if they are interested, to call us or to visit us on our website.
What is your website?
It is www.countthevotecolorado.org.
Countthevotecolorado.org.
Right. And our phone number is 303-231-1031. And we will be trying to get organized with some steering committee this evening. And we have state legislators interested in working with us to introduce legislation about this issue, about getting paper back up to the votes. We have a number of projects that people can get involved with. So we're very anxious to open ourselves up. We even have different county election officials that are interested in working with us outside of their own machinery, outside of their own organizations, just because they want to instill confidence back in the process.
This is an issue that transcends your political affiliation.
Absolutely.
Everybody wants to feel when they go into the voting booth that it's a solid vote, that it's not been manipulated, that there hasn't been any vote rigging going on, that it's an honest process with integrity that you can trust. And that's whatever side of the aisle you're on, whatever your political affiliations.
In Boulder, they were faced with the same issue. By the 12th of this month, the Boulder County has to decide what machinery they're going to buy. And they have put together a number of recommendations, and they are recommending that people hold off on buying equipment and just use paper for the moment. I want to give you two names of leadership in the Democratic Party and phone numbers for them so that you can call them directly. Sharon Klein is with the Denver Dems. She's at 303-830-8242.
Mm-hmm. And it's Sharon. How do you spell the last name?
Klein, K-L-E-I-N.
Okay.
And the other one is Julie DeWitty, and she is head of the Colorado Dems. She is at 303-623-4762.
4762. And if we call them, they can tell us what their programs are for volunteers?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to do that.
They should be prepared to do that.
Okay, we're going to do it. Right. Thank you, Dwayne. Thanks very much for the work you're doing.
My name's Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bob. Okay.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong place.
And I hope that people will consider joining with us this evening, or they can go online and join us online as well.
Okay. Good luck and report back, please.
All right. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. 303-382-1150. Now, Dwayne from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, good afternoon, Enid. How are you today?
Good.
You know, one of the problems that I have is your previous caller, Michael, seemed to, and I have this with both parties, is that instead of when it comes to this instance where people were saying, I volunteered my services, got no response, all I had was a solicitation for money, instead of saying, you know what, we dropped the ball, we need to be better, his response was to say, well, you know, the Republicans want money too. And both parties do that. Instead of really offering you someone inspirational that you can get behind, they both often seem to say, well, we're just as scummy as the other guys, so what's the difference?
Well, let me tell you something. In the New York Times Sunday magazine this past Sunday, there was a cover story on the people who are working in the Dean campaign, and a lot of them are kids who are lovelorn, who are looking to meet each other, who are looking for an activity, a fun activity. It's a great energy to harness, and it isn't only if you're a kid. You might be older than that, and it's just a wonderful community, and it's a great way to meet your neighbors, people who live in the community, and it's a great activity, particularly if you believe in the party or the candidate or the, you know, or the program.
One of the things that baffles me so much, Enid, is I know, and I'm an independent. I tend to try to vote my conscience, which means I will usually vote for the Libertarian candidate. I fear what the Bush administration has been doing so much. I will probably vote for whoever the Democrats run against him, though my heart may not be in it. But here's one of the things that troubles me so much. At the last election, I heard so many Democrats say that they literally felt the election had been stolen from them. And I thought, my God, what a rallying cry. What a stand that should inspire people to organize and get ready for
and
this.
And it fizzled out. It didn't go anywhere. And here you've got actual proof that, in fact, there has been some voting tampering going on, probably more than we even know about. And people still are not outraged. It's like, what do you have to do to put a flame under someone's behind and get them off that couch? That is the question, and thanks for asking it, Dwayne. Van, calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, how you doing?
Doing well. Tell me quick, though. We don't have much time.
You know, the thing I've run into is that, I mean, for instance, I'm a member of the ACLU as well as the NRA.
Yeah.
Okay, those are the only two organizations I see that really are efficient and effective. And the only two other things that I've seen even approaching their effectiveness are MoveOn.org and the Dean campaign.
Well, why can't the Democrats take a page out of these playbooks?
Well, I think because it introduces a certain they don't have a game plan is what I think it boils down to. I think they've gotten so consumed with just trying to win votes that they don't take a principled stand on anything. And I think the one thing that's really interesting about the ACLU and the NRA is that they're essentially one-issue organizations that do nothing but defend the First Amendment in the ACLU's case. And the
Yeah, but
Amendment.
Still in all, I don't understand why the Democrats who are trying to rally themselves, I mean, it seems to, I can't believe it. Are people so complacent that they want to see how successful organizations are doing it and then try to adapt the method to whatever they're trying to promote?
There's a very, it's just too fractious. They don't have, I mean, it's like we're all in this together.
Alone, as Lily Tomlin put it.
Exactly.
All right, Van, we're going to leave it there. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. It is 1:36. Time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin.
Good afternoon, sunny, 35 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Nestle Toll House. Golden police say a suspicious bucket that was found at Heritage Square this afternoon contained nothing but trash. As a precaution, though, while Golden Police and Golden Fire investigated, some people in the area were evacuated. Things at Heritage Square now getting back to normal. Police responded to a home on South Yates in Denver this morning after reports of a man firing shots. The man then barricaded himself inside the home. He was eventually taken into custody. Boulder police are investigating a recent rash of burglaries. Just prior to the burglaries, victims say a magazine solicitor had come to the door. Police still don't know if there's a link between the solicitors and the burglaries. In sports, the Denver Nuggets take on the Hawks in Atlanta tonight. Nuggets are at 13-7 and still tied with Dallas for first place in the Midwest Division. Isn't this a good day to relax with your family? Bake some homemade cookies with Nestle Toll House Morsels. You can share the taste of warm, gooey morsels with loved ones or keep them all to yourself. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:38.
So what will everyone open around your house this holiday season?
No doubt there'll be lots of great gifts.
Wow! And lots of refreshing Coca-Cola. And now, when you look for specially marked packs of Coke at participating retailers, you'll find up to $10 in holiday savings on Mattel toys, like Barbie of Swan Lake or Masters of the Universe. So refresh your holiday with Coca-Cola. You'll find great savings on exciting Mattel toys your children will love to open. Specially marked packs available until 12/31/03 or while supplies last. Coupons expire 1/31/04.
This holiday, don't just give a gift, give the good life. And this Wednesday and Thursday, Sears is the place to do it. For 2 days only, save an incredible 50% on surprising gifts throughout the store. Save 50% on all sweaters and coats for the family and on our entire selection of beautiful fine jewelry. Plus, save 50% on a great selection of tools and game tables. Gifts sure to delight them. The Sears Great 2-Day Sale, this Wednesday and Thursday only. Give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Find us online at Sears.com. Sale dates December 10th and 11th.
KNRC News Time is 1:39. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Electronic Boutique. Latest accidents coming in northbound I-25 at Dry Creek. Watch for an accident there. Also have a stall. It sounds like it's on the right shoulder, westbound 6th Avenue, right at Sheridan. Here's a holiday tip from EB Games. Trade in your used video games for huge discounts on all the hottest new releases only at eBay Games and Electronics Boutiques, where we take games seriously. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy for the rest of the afternoon, 34 for the high today, below average, but should be a little warmer by Wednesday. Tonight, cold though, mostly clear down to 14. Wednesday, partly cloudy up to 41. Thursday, partly cloudy and breezy with a high of 43. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under sunny skies, it's 35 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 section of Bet Your Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
It's big, it's grand, it's fabulous family fun. Don't miss a Colorado Christmas this Thursday through Sunday, December 11th through 14th, with over 300 performers at Bet Your Concert Hall. A Colorado Christmas will have you singing and dancing to your favorite holiday music. Tickets available at all King Super Ticket West outlets and online at www.coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street is negative after the Federal Reserve announced its decision to leave interest rates at 45-year lows while also suggesting the economy is growing briskly. Tough to base any expectations on that, and the Dow Industrial Average, which today topped the 10,000 mark, has turned negative, is now down 39 points. Broader market also lower. The S&P 500 is off 8, NASDAQ now down 32 points, more than 1.5%. Doing a better job paying off the mortgage these days. In fact, delinquencies fell to the lowest level in 3 years in the last quarter. That according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. But concerns about a sharp slowdown in the mortgage business being felt in several corners of the market. This after Washington Mutual warned that mortgage volume would drop by half this quarter. Stock is losing $3.50 and home builders are breaking down. Toll Brothers is off $1.50. Centex now losing over $4. And again, the Dow Industrial Average is down 35 points. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
142 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. The snow is melting. Be careful, though, if you're driving, because it's still kind of slushy and miserable out there. We are talking about a lot of things. We're talking about the Dean nomination. We're talking about the Gore endorsement of Howard Dean. We're talking about Liz and John both calling the Democrats in Colorado and getting no response when they wanted to volunteer, whereas the Republicans are more highly organized. We've got some numbers. We're going to try and find out what the story is. And we're talking about vote tampering in Bev Harris, Virginia, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Virginia?
Yes, hi.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I was originally calling to alert you to a book, but it couldn't fit in better as we refer to Beth Harris.
Bev Harris, yeah.
Beth Harris, yesterday. That is Beth, isn't it?
B-E-V, Beth.
Okay, Beth.
Uh-huh.
With the vote tampering, I have a book that nobody's picked up on. It's called Blood, Money, and Power, How LBJ Killed JFK. And the writer is Barr McCollum. He's an attorney that was with a firm that was... LBJ's attorney. As shocking as the revelations are, is the vote tampering stuff that he gives a history of.
In the state of Texas.
In the state of Texas. And we keep running into Texas, don't we? I've got a note here of 3 in 10 million voters from yesterday's program with you in Texas.
Texas.
And where is our president from?
Don't mess with Texas. Well, all right. So what your point is that there's always been vote tampering. Sometimes it's been
well
over.
Well, I'm not saying it's always. I'm saying it emanated with the LBJ's career and his wish to be president, assuming that the allegations here, which seem to be fairly well founded, I've read it. I'd be happy to drop it off to you if you'd like.
Well, I think I will take your word for it, Virginia.
Okay.
Because I know I've heard stories, and certainly in Chicago, where I lived for a while.
Okay, I'm from Chicago. I've been there 40 years.
Chicago was legendary, where dead people used to routinely vote in elections.
That's
and,
right.
And the motto in Chicago was vote early and often.
That's right.
So I'm not surprised about vote tampering. It's just that it's so much more sophisticated, so much harder to trace. And we feel with all this electronic voting that somehow the vote is safe. In fact, it's probably more vulnerable.
Well, absolutely. And I just wonder...
But this conspiracy, I don't know, Bev, this conspiracy about LBJ trying to off JFK, I don't know about that part.
Well, basically, I was referring to the shocking news about how they tampered with the votes and LBJ.
It was always said that between the Sam Giancana in Chicago and Mayor Daley, then the father,
yes, I know.
That Chicago, Illinois, going for JFK is what did it for him in terms of the presidency.
Yes, that story's been around, and also he could not have gotten it without California. But, of course, Robert Kennedy was behind closed doors with Daley before the election. They needed Cook County.
Right. Well, I thank you. I thank you for the call here, and I thank you for alerting us to another mess in Texas. Julie DeWitty from the Colorado Democrats with us on line 6. Hi, Julie.
Hi. How are you?
Fine. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
We're getting calls from listeners who have tried to volunteer the Democratic Party, and they're getting nothing except solicitations or never hearing back. When they try to volunteer for the Republicans have stuff. They send them immediately, contacts, and so on.
Okay.
Is that true?
Well, I kind of yes and no. I can tell you what our organization is here and what happens when someone wants to volunteer here is if someone sends an email or calls or stops by and wants to volunteer, we have a volunteer list. We take their information. We find out what they're interested in doing specifically, you know, if there are certain things they want to be involved in. We have a volunteer list that's around 500 people right now of people who want to be involved, and we add them to that list and let them know that we'll be in touch as we have activities that we need help with.
But then they never hear back, so don't you have activities that you need help with?
We don't have as many activities right now as we're going to have next year. In the off year right now, it's a lot of planning, organization. We don't have the size of a staff here that we're going to have in an election year.
How about starting out by just having people get together and getting all inspired? And isn't there some kind of groundwork that they could be doing right now? I mean, what are the Republicans having them do?
Well, that's a good question. I'm actually curious to hear that myself, because it sounded from what I heard, I kind of caught the tail end of those first couple calls, I think, on the show. But It sounded to me like they have an automatically generated email response.
Right,
thing,
but what? Yeah,
I'm curious if the woman who had called was actually plugged into an activity, or when you said that she was getting contacts and things.
But have one of your volunteer operatives get in touch with the Republicans and see what they're planning to do. And why can't the Democrats lay some kind of groundwork now? Why
wait? Well, there are a lot of activities going on. There's a lot of groundwork going on. There are, for all the Democratic presidential candidates, there are meetups that go on every month here in Denver and in other places around the state too, but obviously Denver is the biggest. Huge organizations, hundreds of people involved for the different presidential candidates.
But I thought you said that not much is happening with the Democrats. If I want to volunteer and I go to the Democratic headquarters and I say I want to volunteer, you'll give me some numbers, but nothing is really happening right now, you're saying.
Well, not as much as happening directly out of this office right now that's volunteer-oriented, partly because, like, the presidential race, for example, if you're interested in the presidential race, we as the party aren't supporting any one candidate right now.
So you have to go to the Dean candidacy, you have to go to the Wesley Clark candidacy.
Right, if you're supporting one person, right. And there's great organization going on all those fronts here in Colorado, and that's a great way people can get involved.
What about a get-out-the-vote drive, registering voters?
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Isn't that a good thing to be doing in advance of the election and getting people all hopped up about that?
Definitely, and that's some of the stuff that we're working on here, and our counties are doing, the different county Democratic parties are doing different things. It's not everything is centralized here out of the state party office, but one of the biggest roles that we play, we feel, is to kind of direct people to places where different activities are going on.
But Julie, we had a caller who said that the NRA is terrific at organizing. So is there some way to take a page out of the NRA playbook? Are phone trees being organized so that if there's, for example, I got an email today. Let me see if I can dig it out. I got an email where they're organizing against Michael Moore because he's got a brand new film that I think is going to be called 9/11. I can't immediately lay my hand. Fahrenheit 9/11. And so the conservatives are getting ready to protest, boycott whoever the distributor is. It might be Miramax or somebody like that. And if it is Miramax, they're part of Disney. And they are organizing a boycott right now in advance, and because that film is going to come out around the time of the election. And what are the Democrats doing? Not much.
Well,
it breaks my heart because I don't want to see four more years of George W. Bush.
I agree. And my response is that those are all great ideas and things we should do. But
I'm saying that the conservatives have phone trees and they have groups already organized so that when they put the call out, let's go after Abercrombie and Fitch catalog, let's go after the Michael Moore film Fahrenheit 9/11, they can get right on it. The Democrats, like Michael Moore says, they're getting up late and they're having lattes. They can't get themselves out of bed early enough.
I think we're always functioning on limited resources, and I'm sure.
Yeah, but these are people who
want to help.
Yeah,
right.
Enthusiasm is free. They want some social. They want to be able to put it somewhere, and you're not giving them a place to put it.
Well, I think.
So how can we help you do that?
Let's start organizing a phone tree like you're talking about. Let's do that.
How do we do that? You tell me. You're in part of the party. I'm not. Well, how do you do that?
Well, I'm not quite sure what you're asking for. I think as Democrats, we need to remember that we can't wait for action and activities to come from the top down. It's got to start.
Okay, now if I tell people, if I tell my listeners to call you, can you organize them into a phone tree?
Well, I'm thinking of issues like for the Michael Moore example you used.
I'm going to give you some ideas, okay. and I'm really a novice at this, but these are just off the top of my head. You've got people who really are fired up about the coming election. They want to do something, but you don't have the somethings yet to do. So here would be my first suggestion. Organize all the volunteers who want to get together, because it's a social thing too. Get them together in a social meeting. Ask them for their ideas. Uh-huh. Have a meeting scheduled for a certain time. Anybody who calls in between now and such a date, pick a date. You have some kind of a social gathering where you maybe have some refreshments or something.
Mm-hmm.
They can give you their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You can take suggestions because this is a bright crowd.
Yeah.
You can organize at that time. You can organize phoning trees.
Yeah.
That's a one way to begin, or to figure out ideas for getting the vote out.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And one of the ideas that we've been talking about recently here is, you know, printing up a pretty basic piece of literature about, you know, get involved, help the Democratic cause for 2004, and just starting to go door to door and meeting people face to face and talking, and that takes a lot of manpower to do that. that's another one of the activities.
I would put out the call, and I'll help you do it. I'll put out the call. If you have some event and you're going to call for volunteers, I'll let people know about it.
Okay.
And they can all meet, because I'll tell you what, if I had the time to volunteer, I would like to be able to meet other volunteers. Otherwise, you just send me something that says thanks or a solicitation for money, and you've turned me off. You've offended me.
I think that's a good idea. I think that's a great idea to have a get-together like that and
share ideas. Have a Democratic meetup. It's working for Howard Dean. Do it on the net.
And actually, we already have Democratic meetups that, I mean, they're not meetups that are taking place each month that are not specific to any one of the presidential candidates. They're just general Democratic meetups, and maybe that would be a great forum.
And somebody should do some research. How is the NRA or some of these conservative groups, how are they, what are they doing right now? Why are they so successful? What are the young Republicans or the Republicans doing, and why are they so successful? And take a page out of their playbook and get to work. This is what I would say, Julie. These are my free advice, worth what you pay for them. Thank you so much for being a good sport and joining us.
Thank you.
And if you have information about these meetups and so on, we'd like to hear from you.
Okay, I'll get it to you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of AM 1150 KNRC Enid Live.
Talk radio, both sides, AM 1150 KNRC.
In a perfect world, you'd never be short of holiday wrapping paper, especially while wrapping gifts at midnight on Christmas Eve. But the world isn't perfect, so there's Walgreens. Open late, many 24 hours, and right around the corner, with the gift wrap and tape you need to get in and out and on with wrapping your gifts perfectly. That's life. This is Walgreens.
Through Saturday, selected designer fragrance gift sets are 50% off Walgreens' everyday low price.
KNRC Community Commitment.
The Evergreen Chamber Orchestra will present its December Chamber Music Recital Sunday, December 14th at 3 o'clock in a mountain area home. Members of the orchestra will perform solos and in small ensembles, followed by a reception. Tickets are only $12 for adults, $10 for seniors, and $7 for students. And if you want more information and reservations for the Evergreen Orchestra's December Chamber Music Recital, call 303-670-6558.
Using a programmable thermostat can save you up to $75 a year. Visit the Home Energy Analyzer tool at xcelenergy.com for more energy-saving tips.
Join Bill Thorpe this Wednesday morning at the Starbucks at Bellevue and Ulster from 7 to 9 a.m. He'll be there promoting the Holiday Angels Toy Drive to benefit the Starlight Children's Foundation. Stop by with a new, unwrapped toy or pick an ornament off the tree for ideas on what to buy. All toys will be donated to the Starlight Children's Foundation. Do something for a child this holiday and bring a new, unwrapped toy to Starbucks on Bellevue, just east of I-25 this Wednesday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. with Bill Thorpe and AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Dominic Brascia.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:55 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. The lines are full, but they will open up. We're talking about how, if Democrats wanted to get off, wake up, get off their behinds and wake up and get organized, what could they do? I have a lot of ideas, and I think primarily people, you know, are very often driven by a couple of things that people do. We do want to help. I mean, I know I'm sometimes very cynical, and I know people use each other in terrible ways, and that's become almost SOP in business and even in social life. But there is also a corresponding wanting to help, and the world is full of Good Samaritan stories, particularly this type of year. And people are want to get engaged in the political process. So how do you make it easy and inviting? And people also want to hook up socially, because many people feel like they are disconnected, unconnected, not the same vibrant community life that maybe our parents and grandparents enjoyed, etc. So this is one way of doing it, getting involved in political activity. How to make it easy for them. Eric on the cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, I was just going to say maybe, you know, because of the equality and things like that with maybe we should just try to get more dummies on the Republican or from the Republicans.
Well, how's that going to help us?
We have
enough dummies on the Democratic side. We don't need any more.
Well, that takes me back to are Democrats or smart as Republicans?
Well, theoretically, but they're not acting much smarter here. That's all I can say, Eric.
Classic example going on right in front of you.
I know it. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Harold in Centennial. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, you said there was a lot of vote fraud that's going on and evidence of it. Where is these vote frauds? Where's this evidence?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
You stated that there are several documented cases of vote fraud that are obvious that have happened, and I'd like you to tell us where these were happening at.
I want you to go to, first of all, it happened in Florida during the last presidential election. It is apparently there, and that's just only one of the places that it's happened, but I think you need to go to the website www.blackboxvoting.org. Blackboxvoting.org. She documents them chapter and verse. A lot has happened.
Can I ask you another question?
Yeah.
How come no one's been prosecuted?
Well, I think these investigations are just getting underway. So as we found out that the software is as flawed as it is, I imagine that there will be some police investigations as a result of it. 303-382-1150. Robin on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid. How are you?
Good, Robin.
Wonderful. What I'm going to say is probably going to tick off the good tooth fairy, but it's in response to a statement you made prior to the last news break. And that statement was you were asking what does it take for people to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And my first knee-jerk gut-level reaction was, it takes two airplanes slamming into two buildings, ain't it?
You know, I don't know about that. It didn't wake anybody up when it happened, unfortunately. And everybody, what was that? what was that? Oh, I hope that wasn't the airplane slamming into him. It didn't work when it happened. It just made everybody support our leader, whose only advice to us was go shopping. Monty in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid, and can you say it in about 10 seconds?
Sure.
Okay. Quick, go.
Enid, Monty Lambie here. I was glad to hear you had Julie DeWitty on. I think one point on that is people need to get in touch with their party and start forcing the issue with them that they want to volunteer and get involved.
I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, Money. I thank you for the call. I'm Enid Goldstein. One more hour of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Leave it right here. We'll be talking about some of the reasons why you want to get this present regime out. Hair-raising stories to follow on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon, sunny, 35 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Sears. The area around Heritage Square was evacuated for about an hour early this afternoon. As it turned out, no good reason for that. Authorities responded to a report of a suspicious item in the high traffic area. The item was a bucket on which was a written message. Golden Police and Fire rushed to the scene and called the FBI for backup. However, closer inspection revealed the bucket contained garbage. A man in custody after a four-hour standoff this morning with Denver cops. Detective Virginia Lopez said officers responded to a house on South Yates after receiving reports of shots within the house. That was about 5 this morning. After several attempts to contact a man inside the home around DNA in the car owned by the Minnesota man charged in her disappearance, the young woman has been missing since November 22nd. Democratic presidential candidate Howard Dean is reveling in today's surprising endorsement from former Vice President Al Gore. Gore made the announcement in New York this morning, then traveled to Iowa with
unite the entire Democratic Party, and this is a big step in doing that today.
Gore appeared on stage with Dean in Cedar Rapids. He told the Iowa crowd that Dean has, quote, excited the party's grassroots, and he believes that's the best way to win back the White House from Republican President George Bush. Iowa will hold its caucuses, the first of the presidential primary test January 19th. Political experts say that Gore's endorsement has added stature to Dean's campaign and is likely to solidify Dean's status as the person to beat for the Democratic presidential nomination. Media reports from New Hampshire say Gore's endorsement of Dean stunned his former running mate and current presidential candidate, Senator Joe Lieberman. Three people are now facing involuntary manslaughter charges stemming from last February's deadly fire at a nightclub in West Warwick, Rhode Island. The grand jury probing the station blaze has indicated the owners of the club, as well as the stage manager for the rock band playing at the time the fire broke out. 100 people died, 200 were hurt in that fire. Interest rates will remain at their 45-year low. The Fed's policy setting committee announced today the federal funds rate charged on overnight loans between banks is not being changed and will stay at 1%. In other news, in a
the younger generation apparently isn't the only one logging a lot of hours on the World Wide Web. A poll conducted on behalf of Microsoft by ePoll shows that 97% of online Americans over the age of 55 say they surf the net daily, and the vast majority contend the Internet has made life easier. About half of these seniors think that email is the best application of the Internet, with almost 80% saying that's now how they write to family members. In sports, the Denver Nuggets head into Phillips Arena in Atlanta tonight to take on the Hawks. The Nuggets share the top spot in the NBA Midwest Division with Dallas. Nuggets go into tonight's game next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Are you tired of the weight loss battle? Do you find yourself feeling desperate to lose weight and keep it off? Listen to what UltraCarb users are saying about their experiences.
I've been on UltraCarb for 2 weeks. I've lost a total of 10 pounds, and I cannot believe it.
In the first 9 days since using UltraCarb, I lost 10 pounds. It's the only thing that's worked for me, and I am so excited to get down to my goal weight. Right now, I'm losing 20 pounds a month, and within 6 weeks, I'll have reached my goal. UltraCarb is amazing, and I would recommend it to anyone who really wants to lose this weight.
Whoever said losing weight has to be difficult has not used UltraCarb. UltraCarb works by blocking carbohydrates, the source of most weight gain. If you want to lose up to 20 pounds and 2 to 3 dress or pant sizes per month, call now. UltraCarb is 100% guaranteed to work or receive a full refund. Call now to look and feel better about yourself.
Call 1-800-451-6432 and find out how you can get 1 month free with your order. That's 1-800-451-6432.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by XL Energy, and we do have an accident on I-25 right at 58, so watch for that. Northbound I-25 at Dry Creek, we had another accident. The southern I-25 south of town has been very slick all day, so just take care. We do have a traffic report problem in town at Bellevue and Hickory. In winter, you use more energy and spring less. Balance out your energy bills with an average monthly payment from XL Energy. Call 1-800-895-4999. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy, 34 for the high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear and very cold, dropping down to 14. But Wednesday does warm up a little bit, partly cloudy, 41. And we keep it partly cloudy Thursday. But the winds pick up from the west, look for a high of 43. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 35 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Today, and it was inspired by a couple of you calling in to say that you tried to volunteer for the Democrats, and you never heard back from them, where the Republicans are highly organized. And so I think that the Democrats have really got to get off their behinds and get on it. Otherwise, there's no chance. No chance whatever. Between the faulty voting systems and the Bush administration, which will do anything to get W reelected, what chance do the Democrats have unless they get off their behinds? Stop sleeping late. Stop having those mochas till 2 in the afternoon and get on it. Joe, calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, Enid, I tried calling. I wanted to call in yesterday when you had Bev Harris on.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I wanted to bring up was the exit polling that wasn't done in 2002. VNS, the Voter News Service Network, in 2002 didn't do any exit polling. And they said it was because of some glitches with their polling process or whatever. And I think it was because the exit polling didn't match up with the election results in 2000. Where exit polling showed Gore should have won in Florida. And all of a sudden the votes came in and said, no, Gore didn't win, Bush wins. You know how they verify vote fraud and all these other third-party countries, like Jimmy Carter goes down.
Third-world country.
We didn't do that.
All right, so you're alleging that there was something fishy about the polling in 2000?
Well, I think there was something fishy about the election in 2000, and then in 2002 they didn't do any exit polling.
Well, go to her website. And,
well, I did. That's if you go to her website, you'll find that on there also.
Okay, and also the interview has been archived on our website, which is knrcradio.com.
Well, that's all I had to say.
Joe, thank you very much for saying it. I appreciate
it.
303-382-1150. See, you go in, you finally bestir yourself, you get off that couch, you hurl your remote control into a corner,
and you're going to waddle over to the polling place to actually cast your vote. Finally, we got you to vote. And then it turns out that your vote's not secure and it could very easily have been tampered with. I want to talk about a lot of tampering that's going on and why you might want to get yourself organized and get this regime out of office. But before we get there, if you've noticed the newspapers, first, you got the drumbeat of get your flu shot. Get your flu shot. Then you got the drumbeat of, well, it may be that the flu shot doesn't have the right vaccine for the right flu, but get it anyway. And then you get the drumbeat of, oh, there aren't enough flu shots available. Wall Street Journal did a report on it, but the lack of vaccines goes way beyond flu inoculations. This is the eighth shortage since 2000. There are routine shortages now. There are fewer shots for everything, from tetanus to chickenpox, and nobody is talking about that. So here it is. The almost instant shortage of flu vaccine caused by a bad flu season this year points to a deeper, more chronic problem. In March, listen to this, in March, that a new potentially formidable strain of the virus was circulating, yet practical difficulties forced them to stick with an obsolescent vaccine rather than press for a better formulation. There was simply not enough time to prepare the new strain for manufacturing and then produce vaccine in vast quantities. This is just in. Paul Simon, the veteran Illinois legislator, dead. Paul Simon dead. This just in. So anyway, the flu shot. Maybe he didn't have his flu shot. Well, I don't want to make a bad joke about that. He was a wonderful guy. He was very liberal, and he was married, I believe, to the daughter of the legendary Senator Everett Dirksen. You can do some kind of research and make yourself useful that way, where you can start walking the neighbors. I mean, I don't know, because I've not done this.
Well, point taken. You know, I do have a background with the Democrats. I have volunteered for them in the past.
All right. Well, what are the things that they have you do in the past?
Well, in the past, you know, I've pretty much been hands warm. I've walked with candidates, I've stuffed envelopes, and I've attended rallies, and I've done it with presidential candidates, and I've done it with the state party.
Okay, I have some ideas. Here's where volunteers can get involved right now. Mm-hmm. First of all, they can be doing research as to who is registered to vote and who is not. And for those not registered to vote, start getting people to register. Start making the outreach. Start knocking on the door. Start making the phone calls. Start somehow doing that. So that's number one. Number two, maybe they could get involved with fundraisers so that the party's got some money coming in, and it could be getting a speaker. It could be somebody who's in the neighborhood who will demonstrate, you know, like a very grassroots, like a Tupperware party kind of a thing.
Okay, well, the thing about it is, this is what's getting me confused, is a lot of this stuff is going on. I mean, if you're going on the Internet, you go to moveon.org, there's so many other grassroots organizations that are going on.
Yeah, but if you go to the party itself, you're apparently not getting that level of responsiveness. And rather than to run away from the party, why don't we revitalize it?
My understanding is that's what's happening as we speak. The party's been finding itself as the presidential races progress. And it's been typical, actually, when you're coming up to a presidential race, when you don't have a nominee selected yet, that there's going to be a process of organization when there's going to be a coalescence around a party figurehead. And right now, without a presidential primary.
Hey, you know that there's an election in 2004. It is less than 1 year away. Start doing fundraisers. Start getting people registered to vote. Those are things that you do now. It doesn't matter if there's no candidate yet that's been endorsed by the party. You just start to get things in place now. Start to harness that energy of people who want to volunteer. Have speakers who are genuinely interesting, people who have written books, people who can talk about voting like Bev Harris, people who are maybe in the neighborhood but are captivating for one reason or another. That's where you could get started. I mean, I don't think you have to be a genius to figure this part out.
Oh, no. And it's very simple. And the point is that a lot of this is happening right now. If you're around any of the college campuses, you can definitely feel that spirit in the air. And when Al Franken came to the Tattered Cover not too long ago, there were actual driving campaigns from college campuses going down to see him. People were holding up signs when he was speaking. There was overflow rooms.
Yeah, but he's already committed. And why don't people organize driving campaigns to drive people to get themselves registered? And you know how you can do that? I think the Democrats used to do this in the old-time precincts in Chicago and maybe the old-time in the days of Tammany Hall in New York. That, you know, you drive people, you get them their groceries, you help them out, you become their friends, and you get them to vote Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
How's that, Matt? Maybe that'll work. I hope it doesn't sound too cynical, but there it is. All right, we're going to leave it there, Matt. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Paul Krugman will be joining us on Thursday. Make a note of that on your calendar, the New York Times columnist. He will be joining us right here on Enid Live on Thursday. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about a meditation on generosity. Next Wednesday at 1 o'clock, tell it to Tim. He's our CEO. back by popular demand. Anything you have to say about KNRC, any of the personnel, even if you want to talk about our new music station, KCUV, the lineup changes, the signal changes, the anything that you want to discuss, suggestions for future programming, you can do it next Wednesday, 1 o'clock, uncensored, as always. Enid Live, uncensored, and 1 o'clock, tell it to Tim, definitely uncensored. Somebody sent me one of these, but I can't find it, so I hope you send it to me again. You know how when President Bush talks and they have these backgrounds behind him, like Mission Accomplished, or when he was in Great Britain, it said UK, UK, United Kingdom, like no one knew where he was. He doesn't know where he is half the time. So now somebody is suggesting the new Bush background generator, and what it says whenever he gets up to speak is, the great prevaricator, the great prevaricator, the great prevaricator. Somebody else sent me a thing of a G.I. Joe action figure, and it's Bush, but it's called G.I. Joke. 303-382-1150. Okay. All right, let's get on to some serious stuff. And this is some reasons here why you want to get rid of this administration coming right up. First of all, you have, before we get there, remember David Horowitz, academic freedom, and State Senate President John Andrews wants a number of colleges to tell him, you know, what the status is of who's a conservative and who isn't. And 17 colleges have not yet responded to his request. Maybe the dog ate their homework. I hope they don't respond. I don't think it's an official request anyway, and I think they ought to just tell Andrews to forget it and think about doing something more serious than meddling in universities. All right. Here's the story of John Ashcroft. You got to get him out of here. Here's the story of an ex-chaplain. You got to get all these authorities out of here. Let's start with the ex-chaplain. You have the worst kind of human abuses going on at Guantanamo Bay, where we have these people who are detained, and they're going to be detained for the duration of the war on terrorism, and nobody knows in what century that's going to end. So, I mean, it's just horrible for them. There are many of attempted suicides. But there were a spate of stories coming out of Guantanamo Bay of, people who were chaplains there, ministering to the Muslim population, others, and everybody was accused of being a spy. And I'm thinking, can there be so many spies in one place? And if that's true, what does that say about our own vetting process? Not too brilliant, I guess. Well, one guy who is a graduate of West Point, and he converted to being a Muslim a while back, and he has been ministering to that population, and his name is Captain James J. Yee. And the military accused him of being a spy. So now they've conducted an investigation. His whole career is in ruins. He is, as I said, a West Point graduate. He, in 1990, and he converted to Islam after he left the Army, returning later as a chaplain. Okay. So they have accused him of being a spy. They do an investigation. They don't come up with anything. We think that the reason that they accused him was that the feeling is that these were charges added vindictively as part of an effort to cover up the military's mistaken overreaction. They made a mistaken evaluation that he was a spy. There is no evidence, apparently, that supports that he's a spy. So instead, they question all the people that he knows. And he's got a wife and he's got a little kid. And it turns out he was having an affair with a fellow officer. And now he's up on adultery charges, which is, I guess, you're not supposed to do that if you're in the military. Although they hardly ever prosecute these cases. But the feeling is that authorities at Guantanamo resented Captain Yee because of the way he ministered to and looked out for the interests of the mostly Muslim prison population there. And then he got a double whammy because they said he was a spy. But they could find no evidence of it, so they had to put him up on something since his whole career is in tatters now. So it's on charges of adultery. So that's what our regime, that's one thing our regime is focusing on, okay? Another one is John Ashcroft. And Attorney General John Ashcroft, this is the Wall Street Journal reporting this story, has ordered federal prosecutors across the country to take all steps necessary to stop judges from handing out prison terms shorter than those suggested by federal guidelines. And then it goes into the case of a woman named Shelley Lee Langmaid. And she's in the pokey for meth production. She was a junkie for 17 years, methamphetamines, and then I guess she started making it or dealing it or something. And she did a plea bargain and got 6 years is what she sort of expected, a little bit under 6 years. But because they wanted to make an example of her, they got her on some other very innocuous things. She wrote two bad checks. One of them was for $38.50. Another was for $45. She made restitution on those two bad checks a long time ago, and she paid a fine, $100 fine on those two bad checks. But having had those two bad checks on her record somehow takes her from a 6-year jail sentence to a 10-year jail sentence, and even the sentencing judge does not want to give her that 10 years. But you've got Ashcroft's people acting like pit bulls. They're going to make an example of her. They got her for 10 years, and then I think they plea bargained it down to maybe 8 years, something like that. But just vicious, vicious. An inmate's case reflects the tension between Ashcroft's directives and doubts in the judiciary, and federal judges are getting more and more angry. And among them is Chief Justice Rehnquist, who believes that judges should have more freedom than Ashcroft wants to give them. So two reasons why you want to get this regime out of here. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Dear smokers, my name's Megan, and I'm here to ask you to stop smoking. My daddy used to smoke. He was always promising to quit. He finally did. But then it was too late. He had cancer, and now he's dead. I'm only 10 years old, and I miss my dad. He was my best friend, and now he's gone.
If you're ready to quit smoking, we can help. We're the makers of Smokeaway, a product clinically tested and proven to eliminate your cravings and have you smoke-free in just 7 days. It's all natural and nicotine-free, and best of all, it's guaranteed to work or your money back. Call us today. Thousands have already quit using Smokeaway. Shouldn't you?
Please quit smoking.
Call now for your risk-free trial. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704. Money back if you aren't cigarette-free in just 7 days. Call toll-free. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704.
AM 1150 KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:25 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. We're talking about reasons why you want to get this regime out. I mean, God, is there ever a shortage? Is there even a shortage? And then here's a guy who the CIA discredited a long time ago. He got involved in Iran-Contra. And guess what? He's been talking to mainstream Pentagon people and giving them all kinds of advice and so on, and here he is. He's been called a prevaricator by the CIA. So, I mean, you've got to ask yourself, what are these people listening to? But here we have two stories that are to me very troubling. One is against a chaplain who he's a graduate of West Point. He's a captain. He has been a chaplain ministering to the Muslim population at Guantanamo Bay, and authorities called him a spy. They've effectively destroyed his career. When they conducted the investigation, they could never prove that he was a spy. So instead, they found out that he was having an affair with a colleague in the military. I don't know that his wife knew about it. She burst into tears in the courtroom and then collared the woman afterward and said, "Why are you breaking up our family?" And very few people, although it's against the code of military justice to engage in adultery, our ex-commander-in-chief managed to pull it off, and in all senses of the word, and they're going after the ex-chaplain, this chaplain, Captain Yi, because of his adultery, because they're trying to get back at him, because they couldn't prove anything, and because they don't like the fact that he is ministering to the Muslim population and sticking up for them. Then you have a woman who has got kids. She got involved in drugs. She was dealing. She was using meth. And she made a plea bargain. She thought it, you know, she'd be out in about 6 years. John Ashcroft wants to make an example of her. And because she had this little side charge of writing these little pissant bad checks, two of them, one for $38.50, the other for $45, she made restitution on the bad checks and, in addition, paid a $100 fine. However, that technicality pushes her over a certain limit, and now instead of the 6 years she thought she was going to get in the pokey, they made it 10 for that. And the judge is beside himself. He recused himself from the final, doing anything final, because he was just, it was so, he thought it was unfair. And this is a prosecutor. This is our Justice Department. It's a take all steps necessary approach that John Ashcroft is pushing to stop judges from handing out prison terms shorter than those suggested by federal guidelines. Mr. Ashcroft has been determined to stay the course in spite of the fact that some federal judges are rebelling by ignoring certain statutory guidelines. He sought and received from Congress legislation restricting judges' discretion and directed federal prosecutors to limit plea deals, file the most serious provable charges, and appeal lenient departures from sentencing guidelines. I want to tell you something. Some of the research they did about conservatives tells us that conservatives are more fearful than people who are not conservative, that they tend to see things in black and white, which says to me, and they don't see the nuance. And if you're more fearful, like John Ashcroft seems to be, what is your response to the greater fearfulness going to be? You're going to get all bent out of shape and mean, and you're going to come down hard on people. And because you can't catch the real terrorists, you're going to come down hard on your own people. You're going to do like what we did in Iraq. We went into Iraq because we could, because they were really no threat. We didn't go into North Korea where that madman's got nuclear weapons. We went into Iraq where we knew we could mow them over. And that's what John Ashcroft is doing. Is he helping to bring in Osama bin Laden? Is he helping to bring in Saddam Hussein or anybody else? No. He's coming down on his own population because they can, just like what we did in Iraq. So these are a couple of reasons. And then plus they're paying attention now to some shady deal maker, a man whose name you remember from the Iran-Contra scandal. It's M-A-N-U-C-H-E-R. I don't know how you pronounce it. Gorbanifar is the last name. Manucher, Gorbanifar. I don't know how to pronounce it. But he was discredited by the CIA. But this regime is now paying attention to him and listening to him. And they passed that Medicare business, which is going to be a ripoff. For most of us, it's going to help only a very tiny percentage of the population, and we'll be paying for it. Our children and our children's children are going to be paying for it. And what it has done is it has been welfare for the drug companies and welfare for the insurance groups, insurers. 303-382-1150. 4 more years of W. We're not going to be able to afford it. And I just got an email from one of you saying, talking about the candidacy of Howard Dean. And let me see. This is an email from, let's get his name, John, Dr. John. All right. Dr. John calls or emails, and he says, he congratulates me on getting Krugman on the show, and that's on Thursday. He said, finally, I wish to comment on the candidacy of Howard Dean. While it does not surprise me that the Republicans have been harshly critical of Dr. Dean, they see him as a tangible threat. I do find it curious that the mainstream media has also been critical of him. Even the New York Times has had a few pieces, including op-ed pieces, on how his candidacy is not viable. I find this very troubling. Not only was Dr. Dean a very popular and successful governor for 11 years, no less, he has also been very successful in raising funds, a task that has seldom been easy for the Democrats, and he has energized a large following. I cannot recall a time in my adulthood, and he says he's 36, when people have been so positive and energized about a candidate. While Dr. Dean has been criticized in the media for being too liberal to be elected, I believe that he appeals to many for this very reason. So the question is, not only are the conservatives or the Republicans dissing Dr. Dean, but so are publications like the New York Times and other Democrats who don't believe that he's viable. Are they saying that because they don't believe he's viable? Or are they saying it because he's so strong that he may very well be upsetting to the status quo? 303-382-1150. Now, Liz called, and Liz thinks that he hasn't got a chance. But that's just one person's opinion. I think that he has, I think that, look at the money he's raised so far. I mean, that's a barometer. He's able to forego federal matching funds, which would have put a cap on how much he can spend. That's why you forego it. And he's done so well, and not with huge corporate contributors, but he has done well with ordinary citizens giving him $25, $50, $10, $5, whatever they could afford. And he's hauling in a ton. And partly, We like him because of his anger, because he's willing to take on this regime, whereas everybody's been on the one hand this and on the other hand that, and they've all been real vanilla. And John Kerry, who looked like he had the, you know, gravitas, that he had the depth, that he had the experience. First of all, he voted for the war, and they all did have so far, except for Howard Dean. He just somehow ceased to breathe. I don't know why there's no oxygen in John Dean's campaign, but he's got a very, very rich wife. He himself has dough. He could have done something, and somehow he's missed the moment. And Howard Dean is ahead of him by something like 25 or 30 points. So my question is, why is it that the Democrats are also dissing Howard Dean? What is that all about? I don't mean the ones who are in contention with him, but I'm talking about op-ed pieces in mainstream papers like the New York Times. Dr. John here makes a very good point. And so my question is, do you think that Howard Dean has got a viable candidacy? Can he do it? Will his anger be enough propulsion to upset Bush? He's got to come out with what his programs are, which we don't exactly know what they are. But you have here David Brooks writing in today's New York Times saying that on the one hand, Dean espoused this, and on the other hand, he espoused that, and that it makes him look like he's flip-flopping all over the place. But David Brooks, as much as I like reading him, is a conservative. And you had a lot of reporting that's talked about how Al Gore bragged that he invented the Internet and stuff like that, where he never really bragged about that stuff. He never said anything. He was misquoted, and nobody ever cleaned it up, and it made him look like he was a liar and that he was egotistical. So the question is, does Howard Dean have a chance? Does Al Gore's endorsement help him with Middle America, help Howard Dean with the heartland? I think that if you're a successful governor of a state that's as cantankerous as Vermont, you've got to have something going for you. And he was not considered liberal in Vermont. It's just the rap that follows him that somehow Dick Morris is writing today in the New York Post that the Democratic Party is now being hijacked by the wild-eyed, leftist, most liberal wing of the Democratic Party. Do you believe that? I don't think it's true. And I'm heartened that Marley Ivins has endorsed Howard Dean, but I believe that George W. Bush could easily get reelected. So people have got to wake up. And Democrats, if people want to volunteer, grab them, embrace them, promise to marry them, get them involved immediately. People have all this energy. They want to use it in the service of political life, public life. You don't want to turn that off. You do it at the peril of the whole country. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:35, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. It's mostly sunny and 32 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Nestle Toll House. A 22-year-old Denver man is in custody after a four-hour police standoff today. Police responded to a house on South Yates about 5 this morning after reports of shots within the house. The streets around the house were shut down to traffic. Neighbors asked to stay in their homes during that time. The man finally surrendered about 9 o'clock. There was a bit of an uproar in Golden today when a suspicious bucket that had a message written on it was found at Heritage Square. Authorities evacuated some people in the area, including at a daycare, while they investigated. Wound up that the bucket contained only trash. Pamela Mackey, Kobe Bryant's main defense attorney, says she wants the names of the Eagle County Sheriff's Department employees who ordered T-shirts that depict a hangman figure along with derogatory remarks about Bryant. She says the shirts, sold for $10 each, show the bias of the investigating agencies. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are in Atlanta today to play the Hawks. The Nuggets are off to their best start in years. They're at 13-7 this season. When the weather keeps your kids from playing outside, round them up and have them help bake a batch of America's favorite chocolate chip cookies made with Nestle Toll House morsels. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:36.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
We co-host Style Matters Live on AM 1150 KNRC. You know that we know great shopping. That's why for this holiday season, we'll be at Aspen Grove on Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton.
You got that right. Aspen Grove is an open-air shopping center. Park right in front of great stores like Pottery Barn, Coldwater Creek, Talbot's, and Chico's. It's an urban feel in the heart of suburbia with 7 great restaurants. No food court food here.
Aspen Grove has stores you'd find at any mall, plus a few wonderful exclusives, like like the Carol Lee Adrian Vitadini shop, the new Italian department store Camille Lavie, and White House Black Market. He will buy an outfit in white, and then I'm going to buy the same one in black.
I heard that. For the holidays, Aspen Grove has free carriage rides. Have the whole family sign up for the gift registry. Make sure everyone gets what they really want.
Aspen Grove is located on Santa Fe at Mineral and Littleton near the light rail station. Open Mondays through Saturdays 10 to 9 and Sundays 11 to 6.
You can't top Aspen Grove, where life meets style.
KNRC News Time is 2:37. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Office Depot. Got a bit of a problem. It's going to be on westbound I-70 at Havana. They have a stall somewhere, so watch for that. Also, Dry Creek at Santa Fe, watch for an accident there as well. From now until December 13th, come to Office Depot and get a $50 gift card when you purchase any digital camera in-store only. See store for details. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy, 34 for the high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear and very cold, dropping down to 14. But Wednesday does warm up a little bit, partly cloudy, 41. And we keep it partly cloudy Thursday. But the winds pick up from the west. Look for a high of 43. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's sunny, 32 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:38. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Jim Conder here talking with Bev Rouleau from International Optique. Bev, fashion eyewear the best in the city and now a sale. Bev, what's up with that?
Jim, International Optique is having our annual sale now through January 15th, and it's a blowout.
I know the details. If you purchase prescription frames and lenses at International Optique, at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard, you receive a 25% discount.
It's a family affair at International Optique. Just bring your family and friends. Everyone receives 25% off their new frame and lenses.
And don't forget to use your Flex Dollars while saving money. If you run out of time to use your Flex Dollars, come in for a gift certificate to be used later.
Jim, the excitement about International Optique is that we carry frames with a little attitude or a lot of attitude. Either way, let our staff make sure you walk out looking beyond fabulous.
For the best in eyewear in Denver, joined International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard now through January 15th for their spectacular 25% off prescription frame and lens sale. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and we know International Optique.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major indexes finished in the red after the Fed left interest rates unchanged. The Fed also said the economy is growing briskly, but low rates can be maintained for a considerable period. Let's take a look at the numbers. The Dow Industrials briefly crossed the 10,000 mark before closing down 42 points to 99.23. The Nasdaq lost 41 points to 19.08. The S&P 500 fell 9 points to 1,060. Big board volume was about 1.4 billion shares. Decliners beat advancers by a nearly 5-3 margin. The head of the Semiconductor Industry Association tells MarketWatch.com global chip sales could top its 16% growth rate by a percentage point or so. The trade group credits strong PC and consumer electronics sales. But chip stocks had a rough day. For instance, Intel, the worst performer, sliding $1.39. This after the world's two biggest contract microchip makers posted disappointing revenues last month. I'm Steve Orr at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
2:40 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. And on Thursday, we're going to have Paul Krugman from the New York Times in the 2 o'clock hour. So mark it on your calendars. It's make an appointment radio listening. Must hear radio listening. The Bev Harris interview is up on the website. And how do we access that again? We go to knrcradio.com and we go to archives. Is that it? And then we hit Enid. And then somehow it's going to take you. It's going to hold your hand, envelop you in its arms, and take you right where you want to go. And you'll be hearing the Bev Harris interview. And Friday, live from the Denver Press Club, the holiday edition of, we do a show live from the Denver Press Club once a month. We were all over there on Saturday night for our Christmas party, which was wild and wonderful. It was a wonderful party. And next Wednesday, make an appointment on your calendar, 1 p.m., Wednesday, I believe it's the 17th, back by popular demand, Tell It to Tim. Tim is our CEO, Tim Brown. And we are doing all kinds of
interesting things around here, all kinds of things that are new, and you know about KCUV, our sister station. And anything you want to comment on, what you like about us, what you don't like, where we're good, where we're deficient, the programming, the lineup changes, you may want to comment and tell Tim directly how you feel, what you like, what you don't like, any ideas that you have. He will be yours for 1 hour next Wednesday at 1 o'clock. So make an appointment. It's your chance to talk directly to the guy who makes the decisions. 303-382-1150. Speaking of which, we're talking about Howard Dean. He's getting dissed from both sides. The Republicans have long said that they feel they can defeat him, and so they dismiss him that way. Some Democrats dismiss him as saying that he's hijacked the party and given it over to the wild-eyed leftists in the party. My question is, it seems like he's raised an awful lot of money. He's gotten a lot of people involved that might, you know, that have avoided traditional politics. I think he's got a good chance. At the same time, I don't yet feel, and I hope I'm wrong about this. You tell me if I am or not. I don't yet feel that in spite of all the bad news coming out of Iraq, I don't yet feel that getting rid of W, you know, voting him out is anywhere close to a done deal. In fact, if you were to ask me right now, all this negative stuff, it doesn't matter. My sense is that he could very well be reelected. And I hope I'm wrong about that. But it was troubling for me to hear that people who do want to get involved call the Democratic Party and what are they to volunteer their services, and either they get a big nothing, a big silence, or else they get a solicitation to donate money. I just got this from one of you from Andrea. The subject is Bush is the most dangerous president. Let me count the ways. Number one, nullifying the Family Planning Act, killing thousands. Number two, killing the ABM treaty to build a defense shield that doesn't work and won't protect the more likely attacks. Number three, secret meetings with Ken Lay to design an energy policy. Then there's another one, exaggerating the case for war, killing thousands, going after the CIA wives of officials who disagree with him, weakening EPA laws, giving us dirty air and water, killing thousands, huge deficits to give tax breaks to the wealthy, faith-based initiatives, propping up hate groups that promote discrimination, Medicare bill that privatizes and weakens health care, stem cell research, potentially killing thousands for his religious bigotry, limiting stem cell research, unilateral policies that weaken the U.S. standing in the world. These are Bush is being the most dangerous president, calling anyone who disagrees with him unpatriotic, dividing Americans, going after our right to sue corporations who knowingly do harm, turning the media over to a handful of corporations to decide what news is, and ignoring antitrust laws, dumping billions into the military programs designed to fight huge armies instead of small terrorist cells, starting to design low-yield nukes, which would begin a new arms race. These are just a few, she said, that I could think of, signed Andrea. And then she ends it, calls herself Petrified in Denver. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I want to share a couple things I want to tell you about. First of all, the Colorado Women's Hall of Fame is going to be having an author extravaganza to showcase 12 authors, among them Dottie Lamb, who is Governor Lamb's wife, Marilyn Vanderber Atler, author of Miss America by Day, Lessons Learned from Ultimate Betrayals and Unconditional Love, and she was our guest. Mildred Pitts Walter, author Lily of Watts, A Mississippi Challenge and Other Children's Books. Jean Varnell, Dil Cheechan, Virginia Fraser, Judy Gaskill, Tom Noel, who's Dr. Colorado, Suzanne Gelbert, Roger Baker, Eleanor McGinn, and Emily Howell Warner. And this is going to be on Thursday, January 15. The Women's Hall of Fame hosts a fundraising and book signing event showcasing these 12 Colorado authors. The event will take place from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Colorado Business Bank, 17th in Champa. You got to buy tickets. If you buy them before January 15, it's $25 at the door, is $30. VIP tickets are $75. You can get them with an advance purchase. But this is the Colorado Women's Hall of Fame. So we're talking about Howard Dean and why he's getting dissed from both sides. Does he have a chance? If you ask me right now, and I really hope I'm wrong about this, W could get reelected. He might. In fact, I sort of feel that he will. And I hope that that's not the case. Jeff, calling from Castle Rock. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, you got a question for you and how you think about this regarding Hillary Clinton. My next door neighbor's fairly conservative. We kind of contemplated toying around the idea of Hillary being elected president. She goes, if she's elected president, I'd have to shoot her.
What?
I don't understand why people seem to hate Hillary Clinton so much, other than it would seem to me that Hillary Clinton represents the biggest threat to the Republican Party, because if women would get together and vote as a bloc, they could rule this country. And I think Hillary is the biggest chance that that might happen someday. So I think that's what she's...
Men are afraid of her. She's really polarizing to a lot of Americans, and particularly to men. A certain kind of man really can't stand her. A lot of men don't like her at all, and I really think that a lot of men are threatened by her.
I don't understand why women are so broken up politically. It seems like, just like across, you know, all genders, it's broken up about the same
Democrat. Let me say something about W. He has been anti-woman. He has been un-woman-friendly. The whole administration, they have passed laws that have been very harsh on women. And I don't know why women and other people don't vote their own self-interest, but you have a lot of people, like, for example, when Dean got into trouble for talking about rednecks with the Confederate flags in the South, that he wants that vote as well. Those are people who are not voting their self-interest when they vote for Republicans.
Yeah, I don't understand why people don't look at women as an opportunity. The female gender is just completely broken up politically.
Well, I don't know why either, but I like your question, which is, why is Hillary such a polarizing figure? And I thank you, Jeff, for the call. 303-382-1150. Why is Hillary such a polarizing figure? Why don't women get together and find a candidate that will be supportive of women? Peter in Boulder, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, how are you doing?
Doing well, Peter.
Hey, hold on just a second. I'm going to pull out the headphone, get on the reels.
Okay. As much as I despise the policies of George Bush and John Ashcroft, let me tell you, I think Howard Dean will be crushed in a landslide unless, as some
wait, wait, wait,
say,
wait, crushed by Bush?
Yeah, unless Bush is caught with the proverbial dead girl or live boy, or in case some just kind of catastrophic occurrence happens in Iraq. You know, I would like to see Dean in there, but frankly, I just don't think he's got a chance against a Republican.
All right, if it's between Dean and Bush, who are you going to vote for?
I would vote for Dean, but I don't think that's going to make the difference.
Why do you think that Dean is going to be crushed by Bush?
It's got all the makings of the previous election, number one. And anyone, if I were the Republican National Committee, I would be sending out millions of copies of Howard Dean's interview with Tim Russert on Meet the Press, where he made a complete jackass out of himself. I mean, the guy, he's so vulnerable, and he's so far to the left, even though people are saying, well, once he gets the nomination, he's going
to... But he's not far to the left. What's your evidence that he's far to the left? In Vermont, he was not considered left at all. What is your evidence that he's far to the left? And why do you say that he made a jackass out of himself with Tim Russert? Because let me tell you something. Tim Russert didn't do anything. He never put George W.'s nose to the grindstone when he interviewed him. The deal
wait
was...
Wait a second. Now you're doing the same thing.
Oh, like, no. He was very... He only...
People wanted to bring up Clinton.
Wait a minute. He only threw W. softballs. He got very tough.
He got very tough on Dean. Enid, you're falling into your own trap. He crucified Dean on TV. Did you see the interview?
I did not see the interview. I only read about it afterward.
Listen, because, like I said, I despise the policies of George Bush and John Ashcroft. I don't like to call myself a liberal, but a lot of conservative pinheads would call me that. But let's not talk about...
All right, what are you going to do in order to try to defeat Bush in the next election? Are you going to volunteer? Are you going to give some money? What are you going to do?
Well... Number one, I'm a freelance writer who likes to get my views out there in terms of what's going on vis-a-vis the conservative policies. Well, let me do something right now. Here's something a lot of people haven't heard about John Ashcroft and the Patriot Act. They're having these little private seminars for law enforcement officials, teaching them how to use portions of the Patriot Act to prosecute just common everyday criminals. A guy, for example, who gets caught with a pipe bomb, and this is not an example.
Is that a common everyday criminal guy with a pipe who just happens to have a pipe bomb in his briefcase, or is he just happy to see us?
Where basically they now accuse a guy of using a weapon of mass destruction, a guy who had a meth lab They accuse him of using biological weapons. And the Justice Department has this kind of subversive agenda to basically, it's like how the Republicans accuse liberals of using judicial activism. The conservatives are using the Justice Department to enact, like, laws that were never intended to exist in this country. You know, like I said, I despise Bush's policies. I'm not a fan of his, Ashcroft's or anything, but I'm a realist. And,
I think you ought to be doing pieces, do these pieces for, you know, various publications, all the stuff that you've uncovered. Start doing pieces about it.
Well, let me tell you, you need to get yourself a copy of, contact NBC, whatever. Get a copy of Tim Russert's interview with Howard Dean.
But that's old news.
Think he's a viable candidate.
I think that's really old news. I haven't heard that interview reprised in a long time. And he was successfully able to extricate himself from whatever that thicket was. Peter, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC Community Commitment.
The Junior League of Denver's award-winning thrift store, Second Time Shop, announces its annual toy sale Saturday, December 13th from 10 to 6. The sale will include electronics, music, books, sporting goods, bikes, and more. The Second Time Shop is an upscale thrift store located at 351 Inglewood Parkway in Inglewood. Don't miss the toy sale at the Second Time Shop on December 13th, where all proceeds benefit the programs of the Junior League of Denver.
Come into Sears Auto Center and get Die Hard Express. Get a new Die Hard installed quickly 7 days a week, only at Sears Auto Center. Die Hard, America's most preferred battery.
Celebrate the holidays by giving toys to seriously ill children. Donate a new unwrapped toy at your local Starbucks between now and December 25th. And for ideas, stop by Kazoo & Company in Cherry Creek. They're donating 10% off the price of all toys purchased for the Holiday Angel Toy Drive to the Starlight Children's Foundation. Just mention to the cashier you're donating the toy to the Starbucks Starlight Toy Drive. So bring a new unwrapped toy to your local Starbucks store and help brighten the smile of a seriously ill child this holiday season.
An open letter to KNRC by yours truly, Jeff. Dear KNRC, I just wanted to tell you that I really enjoy the music that you play on your station. I've heard a lot of really cool tunes that make me feel really good. But as soon as I start to get my groove on, man, you start talking. You talk about the news, you talk about the traffic, the weather, the stock market. You're always talking 24/7. I mean, like, I like the music you play, but I want to hear the whole song, man. When you start playing the whole song, give me a call. Until then, I'm out of here.
Some people don't get it. For those who understand talk radio, we're here for you. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150, KNRC.
2:55 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Yours until 3 o'clock, 5 minutes more. We're talking about the Howard Dean candidacy. We're talking about how Democrat people have tried to volunteer, Colorado Democrats, and there's no program apparently, or it sounds like it's in some disarray, or you get a solicitation to give money instead, which it seems to me is a waste of time. There's a lot of criticism of the Howard Dean candidacy on both sides. Do you think that he can take Bush? Right now, I think Bush is stronger. What do you think? Donna, calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Donna in Aurora. I just want to say, it seems to me everyone's forgetting someone who is running, and that's General Wesley Clark, who's well qualified.
He is well qualified, but somehow lately he's been sort of eclipsed, don't you think?
No, he was on Chris Matthews last night for an hour, and he's the man I will vote for. He's the one that can beat Bush.
I would like to see him on the ticket, but I'm thinking that maybe he won't have the juice to make it to the top slot.
Well,
he could be the number two guy.
I don't think so. I think he's getting stronger. More people are listening to what he has to say. And I would suggest people get his website and find out more information about him.
What is his website?
I don't have it right here. I have a number you can call to get it.
Well, that's all right. I'm sure people can find it.
They could find it.
Okay, and so he's your guy. Now,
one I'll vote for. I will not vote for Dean.
Why?
I wouldn't.
Why?
I don't like the way he comes across.
What is it that you don't like about him?
I just don't like the way he comes across. His attitude kind of seems kind of smart-alecky, if there's such a word as that. I just don't like it.
Well, there is a Bandy Rooster quality to him, but let me ask you, if it's between Dean and Bush, what are you going to do for a candidate?
I would have to vote for Dean. I would never vote for Bush.
Okay.
Any of the candidates are better than Bush.
Yeah, well, that's what I think.
Wrong. But I am working right now doing work for Wesley Clark.
What are you doing? What kind of volunteering?
I have already written letters to the caucus people and people that are going to vote in the Iowa primary. Saturday, well, I'm having a meeting here. A bunch of people are coming to my house to make phone calls to New Hampshire.
When you called the Wesley Clark candidacy, what did they ask you to do? Did they have a meetup right away?
They have meetups. They have all kinds of meetings. They just had one last Monday. We'll have more meetings coming up.
Have you done this before?
Yes. I've been to about 3 meetings.
No. Did you ever volunteer for any other candidate previously?
Oh, yes. I worked very hard for Bill Clinton.
Okay, so you know the drill.
Yes. You have to get involved if you care about our country, if you care about our future generations.
So what usually happens when you call up and you want to be a volunteer? They immediately have a meeting of a bunch of you together?
Well, this was already started before I really got into it. They had a group already organized and were adding to it. Wesley Clark was at the Red Lion November 9th, and they expected 500 people. 850 to 900 people showed up.
Really?
Right. And my granddaughter is graduating from CU December, and she went with me, and she said, you know something, Graham? That man talks from his heart.
Well,
I was very impressed how he came across to the young people. He was just on Chris Matthews from Harvard last night for an hour. They loved him.
Well, Donna, I hope I just haven't heard very much about him, and I think he's trailing Howard Dean in the polls. Although
he'll catch up.
These polls can change, and
right.
Howard, somebody can trip up. I mean, Dean
right.
can trip up, Clark can trip up, or most of all, W can trip up.
Right, and I think General Clark, Wesley Clark, is a man who could beat Bush. I feel that in my heart very strongly.
Well,
I'm 75 years old, so I saw Franklin Roosevelt when I was 8 years old, and I've been like a born Democrat all my life.
Well, good luck to you, and keep us posted on these volunteer activities.
Okay.
Maybe we can funnel some of these ideas to the nearly comatose Democrats.
We need to do something. Definitely.
Yeah.
People have to get interested and wake up. You know what's wrong?
That's the question. Thanks,
Don't
Donna. I appreciate the call. All right, we just have a few seconds left. A lot of people that I want to thank. I want to thank Joe Anderson for doing a great job today. Jordan Lyles for doing a great job today. Also, he keeps us on the air. And I'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, noon to 3. Let's have lunch. You turn me on and I'll turn you on, something like that. Okay, lunch, noon to 3 on KNRC. We're going to be talking about a meditation on generosity. So let me leave you with this idea. Do something generous, will you? You never can lose by doing that. Make the world a better place. Doug Kellett up next, and then Dominic and Billy will follow him. I'm Enid Goldstein. See you tomorrow at noon.
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon, sunny, 31 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by GM OnStar. It was a tense few hours on South Yates in Denver this morning when a man barricaded himself inside his home. Denver Police Detective Virginia Lopez says about 5 this morning, officers responded to a report of shots fired at 374 South Yates.
Once officers arrived, they made an attempt to contact. They could hear someone inside, but they would not answer the door and ultimately called out our Metro SWAT unit.
Finally, after about 4 hours, 22-year-old Francis Javier Gonzalez decided to come outside.
He came outside in his underwear. He was taken in custody and is currently being charged with failure to vacate upon a police order.
Lopez says that's a misdemeanor. Streets in the area were closed to vehicular traffic during the incident. Neighbors were asked to stay in their homes until the situation was resolved. After Gonzalez exited the home, he was asked if anyone else was inside. When he refused to cooperate, a SWAT team was called in for a 2.5-hour search of the dwelling. No one was inside that house. Tonight is expected to be the first night of the fall in which temperatures are forecast for the single digits. It won't be the last, though. Mark Stutz at XL Energy says despite peak demand, his utility will be ready to provide.
We'll have plenty of gas to meet demand throughout the winter season. That's not going to really be a difficulty.
Stutz says despite skyrocketing natural gas prices, cranking up the heat on one night won't have